The fake news, of which many of you are members, is trying to convince the public to have a recession. Let's have a recession. The United States is doing phenomenally well. But one thing I have to do is economically take on China, because China has been ripping us off for many years. President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama and others should have done this long before me. My life would be much easier, although I enjoy doing it, but my life would be much easier if I just said, let China continue to rip off the United States, all right? It'd be much easier, but I can't do that. We are winning against China. They've lost 2.5 million jobs in a very short period of time. They want to make a deal. It's got to be a deal that's good for the United States. Where they want to make a deal, probably we will make a deal. But if I didn't do that, and I'm not doing this, somebody said it's Trump's trade war. This isn't my trade war. This is a trade war that should have taken place a long time ago by a lot of other presidents. Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion. $500 billion. Ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft, add that to it, and add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it. So I'm taking on China. I'm taking on China on trade. And you know what? We're winning because we're the piggy bank. We're the one that all these countries, including the European Union, wants to rob and takes advantage of. European Union, $200 billion. China, more than $500 billion. Sorry. I was put here by people to do a great job. And that's what I'm doing. And nobody's done a job like I've done. Now, would China rather wait for a little more than a year and try and get sleepy Joe Biden to negotiate with instead of President Trump? Maybe, but I don't think so. You know why? They're losing too many jobs too fast. They had the worst year in 27 years, but I think it was actually 52 or 54 years. It's the worst year they've had in a half a century. And that's because of me. And I'm not proud of that, but you know what? They want to negotiate. And Sleepy Joe doesn't have a clue. Sleepy Joe said, oh, China's wonderful. Well, China is wonderful for China, but I'm wonderful for the USA.
Trump is our champion. Trump is delivering. And what you just heard is the truth. It's so refreshing to hear a statesman in office telling it like it is and straight shooting. 73 years old. Never seen anything like it. The precision, the commitment. Yes, Trump is the chosen one. We're all chosen to fulfill our destinies if we choose to take those destinies in our hands. And Trump is delivering the country out of the globalist bondage, and they're fighting like the devil to keep their entire system in place right now. And this country is in a fight, and you just heard Trump with China, that is trying to keep the Democrats in power and openly is their main financier through U.S.-based Chinese companies. And I can tell you, it's being looked at as a national security issue, and more it's being realized that the globalists sold the country out to China, not just economically, but politically and culturally, and that this is treason. That's exactly what his mission is to turn that around. It's your mission. It's my mission if you choose to accept it. We'll be back more on the other side of the information war. And all of you have chosen to tune into this broadcast and spread the word.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for allowing this broadcast to even exist. You are the wind in our sails, and we're all on this ship together called Planet Earth here in deep space. It's Thursday, August 22nd, 2019. I intend to open the phones up again today and take a lot of calls. We're doing a pretty good job at that. And I intend to have several special guests here in studio. as well, and some that'll be over Skype from Europe. We also have our reporters filing a whole bunch of amazing videos that we're going to be posting to Infowars.com and playing some today from Hong Kong, which really is the epicenter of the CHICOM attempt to invade into the South China Sea and take islands from the Philippines, Japan, you name it. And it is a military flashpoint. The Chinese are threatening to invade as early as this next week. And so our reporters are there on the ground. And I will just also let you know that we're going to have some other special guests from Hong Kong coming up next week. But I'm not going to announce who those people are going to be until they are in country. So let's just stop right there. And I come in here and I look at all this news and I've got all this research and all these clips. And I try to sit back and ask myself, what really is the biggest story of our age and that's unfolding right now? And it's undoubtedly the global awakening. And that people are not buying what the government is saying anymore, or buying what corporations are saying anymore, but they're going past that. They're actually going out and researching and finding out for themselves. And all the attempts of Google and all the attempts of Facebook and the technocrats to suppress this are going to fail one way or another, and they are failing. In fact, all the censorship has only made people that much more apprehensive about mainstream news. And so when you get attacked by it, it has a buoying effect to a great extent. Now, there are zombie-like hordes out there that come in every shape, color, and size of our fellow humans who are believing the propaganda and have gone into just apoplexy. They are just completely beside themselves and getting more and more radical by the minute. And so to a certain extent, the globalist venom is working. But it's only working in the most low IQ, weak-minded people, or those that are manipulating those people and feeding off of them. And I have a spectrum of these reports here. You can't turn on a television or open a newspaper or go online, whether you got a Droid or an iPhone, it's just Apple's force-feeding you. Oh, Obama's Harvard professor says Trump's a racist. Boy, that's original. Or this politician said it, or this movie star. Who cares? It's so obvious, the movies, the culture is trying to start a race war. And then you get the internal transcript last week out of the New York Times, and they're saying, we're going to pivot from Russia. That's flat-footed. That's not true. We're going to go to race. But then the head of the New York Times says, but you got to be nuanced, okay? Can't just call him a Nazi or a racist. You've got to find something and then build off of that. And so Trump says, man, these Jews sure are betraying Israel, working with people like Tlaib and everybody that literally want to blow it off the face of the earth. And they turn that around to, did you hear the anti-Semitic statement? So support for Israel and its existence is now anti-Semitic. This is upside down world. And you've got the extreme right and the extreme left that are really the same people obsessing over Israel constantly and applying mythical leprechaun powers to Israel and then acting like Netanyahu runs the world. Meanwhile, it's the Rothschilds, who are globalist leftists, Jews, who are now trying to overthrow Netanyahu. I mean, you cannot make this up. But then all the moron Nazis and all the moron leftists get mad at me because I support the existence of Israel. Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons. It's not going anywhere. Israel's the most stable place in the Middle East. Israel has more human rights than all those countries. Saudi Arabia doesn't take one Palestinian in or one refugee. And I'm sick of it. And the same playbook being run against Israel about open your borders, let everybody in to have free stuff, has been run against us. You know, I sat there in the break room, what was it, Monday evening, and with my mouth hanging open during that press conference with the four horsemen of the Democratic apocalypse, crying and whining and oh, my mother needed a hospital. She was in Palestine or my grandmother, and they wouldn't let her in for free health care. So you want to blow the country up, and then, but it's got to give you some free stuff. But then in your wonderful Palestinian place, you can't even put two and two together, and you basically live in a dictatorship. And then Saudi Arabia won't take one of you in, and Jordan won't take you in, and Egypt won't take you in. And why is that? Because every time you look at who's starting these rebellions and these attacks, it's Palestinians, because they don't even exist, folks. They're just people that migrated into that area and want to take it over. It's just it's a made-up thing. And so everybody's tried to bully me to attack Israel and tried to bully me. No, I'm going to support Israel now more because you tell me I can't. It's sick. And, of course, Israel has all its own corruption, all its own problems, has staged false flags against us, working with the U.S. government, and has had lots of problems. So is our government. So is the Italian government. So is the Russian government. But fetishizing, attacking Israel and hating it, people go, well, they're never going to be able to convince everybody that America is racist and apartheid and have a race war. Well, really? They're successfully doing it with the left. The average leftist hates Israel. It's a litmus test. Are you for killing babies? Are you for sterilizing young kids? The whole trans agenda? And do you hate Israel? I've never been to Israel. And I've got all these subjects to get into, but I've got a lot of news out of Israel. But I just think about Tlaib talking about her grandmother. I never got to the clip. We're going to play it later. And she's crying, and it's so fake. And Israel's just a way to see this picture, a Rosetta Stone, a skeleton key, as I call it, because it's the left. Their religion is that they're victims. It's like all these people that attempt suicide constantly for attention. It's one thing if you got bone cancer and you're in incredible pain and don't want to spend all your money, all your family's money on it and don't want to, you know, go through all the pain. You shove a gun in your mouth and blow your head off. Hey, that's your life. It's, you know, I don't judge you. I understand that. But all these people that constantly are attempting suicide and constantly whining about what victims they are. And I look at the four horsemen, these parasites that hate America and tell us how bad we are all day and then fetishize saying Israel shouldn't exist. And then when Israel doesn't let her in, she whines and cries about her grandmother and how her grandmother deserves all this free health care that she thinks is in Israel. And again, Israel is just a microcosm of all of this. And the point is, there's a fight over who controls Israel. There's a fight over who controls America. There's a fight over who controls Europe. And it's not a fight between Germans and Jews, or between Mexicans and Russians, or between Chinese and Japanese. It's a fight between evil and good. In your family, it's a fight between good and evil. In your relationships, in your business, in your life, at your church, there's a struggle in the universe between good and evil. And there are ideologies that are evil. There are systems that are evil. There are groups and gangs and organizations that are evil. And they take countries over, just like Hitler took over Germany. Or Stalin and Lenin took over Russia. And when you get evil in charge of a group of people, you got a problem. And Israel's had plenty of evil people that have ran it. But again, it goes back to a fight between good and evil. And real evil is about to get turned loose on the planet. The devil's making his move. And everybody better decide which side you're on. And the cop-outs here. You know, you don't see anybody trying to get in Somalia for the free health care, where women are still sold as sex slaves. I mean, the Four Horsemen are in the news. They won't say a word about more Muslim countries passing laws like the West Bank, to basically kill gays. The left won't say a word about that to those women because they're all hypocrite pigs. We'll be back with a bunch of other news. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host, on this Thursday global edition of The Transmission. I didn't mean to go off on a jag about Israel. It's just that I meant to cover that on Monday and Tuesday with the Four Horsemen's parade. And then now they're back in the news and not telling folks that in the West Bank they kill you if you're a homosexual. But liberal gays don't care about that. They just don't want to be called homosexuals. See how it works? Again, it's like Apocalypse Now. We drop napalm on women and children, but the brass won't let us write cuss words on the side of the airplane. It's the same thing. It's like, use the words I say, but kill me if you're a Muslim. That's a good. Bring in the Muslims, but call me a homosexual. You've not used the proper word I tell you to use. And it's the alliance of the left with the most radical orthodox forms of Islam. And then they lecture us how we're oppressive and homophobic and all this. And I'm just done. It's all a hoax. It's all a lie. And I know everybody knows that, but they've cut us out of the infrastructure of information so that whether you're Alex Jones or you're just Sally Soccer Mom that's conservative or nationalist, you're being silenced. You're being curtailed. They admit they're doing it. And it's real authoritarianism. And then I see Trump up there. We just played 2.5 minutes of it at the start of the show. I'm going to play a short clip of it again right now. And then even more of the press conference later. Because it's just, he's getting better and better. I'm sorry. And I told you he wasn't going to do the expanded background checks. I told you that was meant to take the wind out of their sails and shut them down. And now that's been shelved. And it doesn't mean Trump's perfect. But my Lord, do they hate the fact he's in there and that he's stabilizing and trying to build the economy. And they are trying to wreck it all right now. This country is at war with a globalist system. And Trump just said in the press conference this morning and yesterday that we are at war with China. We've been at war for 30 plus years. They've been kicking the living snot out of us. He said they pull $500 billion out, he said, over the years. That's the one thing he said that made his statement 99% accurate. It's $900 billion a year, $500 billion trade deficit, another $400 billion estimated in stolen intellectual property. Everybody knows that. And it's all one-sided, and it's not fair. And you don't hear a word out of the left, again, about China that makes Hitler look like an amateur. I mean, just seeing my reporters right there at the edge of the bridge, and across it is communist China and hundreds of thousands of troops and massing military. And it just gives me butterflies to think we're that close to war with these monsters. And the Washington Post and others have big headlines and articles about how Xi's going to destroy Trump to save America. That's sick. And then the left now, in their own publications and on the street, are championing Xi. That's how much they hate America, folks. And it makes me really sad to know that a third of our population has been totally brainwashed to hate their own country. They have no idea how savage China is, how evil it is. How if somebody's old, they just leave them on the side of the street to die in many areas. If somebody gets hurt, nobody helps them. It's savage. Taiwan's not like that. Hong Kong's not like that. And they're Chinese because they're the people that fled Mao. And they were under British rule that compared to the Chai Coms was heavenly. And the people are alive and vibrant and cool. I mean, you meet people from Hong Kong and Taiwan, it's like a totally different brand of person. Exceptional compared to what you get under the communist system from just two generations. They have mobile execution vans in every city where you don't even go to a jail cell. They just cut your organs out. And they've been human cloning for 30 years. It's in the medical journals. Now it's all out. Just as I told you, growing humans inside cows. Because you can grow up a bigger humanoid that's got the organs. And just like the movie The Island, they put all this out in the open. They found you. They try to grow organs by themselves. They don't thrive. It's got to have a brain, a nervous system attached to it. So they're growing whole humans. Been doing it a while. A lot of the organs coming out of China are cloners. And this is all coming out. And the Albert Einstein Institute and the Rockefellers and Epstein that ran it are obsessed with underground cloning programs and underground vaccine programs. Look it up. We're not in Kansas, folks. I know I say that a lot. We're not in Kansas anymore, okay? And there's a race to surveil, a race to control, a race to censor, and a race to just absolutely wipe out the human community, teach us that the word mother and father is bad. RNC ads that say we're looking for strong women are banned because they say it's hateful. You're like, well, that's insane. Exactly. But you see, it's here. Alex Jones last year, RNC now, and Mitch McConnell and all them, even though he's censored, they still can't find their huevos for their own children's future and are still not acting. Trump's acting on China because it's the main system that the globalists parlayed our power into, and they're then using it to suck the energy out of the U.S. for their world government. And I know I harp on this because you notice the president's listening, the culture's listening, what's left of the Pentagon's listening. And if we don't recognize just how overrun we are and how almost completely captured we were and how we're fighting for our lives with our valiant president and everything we wanted happening and globalism beginning to get on the retreat, on its heels, we're rallying back, bloodied, shot full of holes, but we have the spirit of victory. And Trump says in his whole talk, I'm the chosen one. I got elected. He looks up, and it's true. I mean, obviously, we're all chosen for what we do if we take the path. God gives us a path. The devil gives us another. Of course Trump's chosen. It's a phenomenon, and everybody can see it and smell it. And the devil and the enemies, the little snakes, they can't stand it. Let's go out to break with the president talking about being the chosen one and acknowledging God, that God chose to put him in that position against the enemy's whole operation. That is God.
China's made $500 billion. $500 billion. Ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft. Add that to it. And add a lot of other things to it. So somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it.
And then he goes on to say, I was chosen by the American people to do this, but he also acknowledged God. It's that connection. The people to the leader, to God. You get evil leaders, they work for the prince of the air, the prince and principalities, evil in high places. If somebody's put in there because of the prayers and people taking action, then it's chosen by God. But here's the thing, it's our last chance. The cloning's going on, the abortion, the killing of the babies, they keep them alive. I was talking to a nurse about it, she started shaking, she goes, it's true, I know, I never thought of it. She was like, oh. I was like, yes. You don't want to be involved in murder, do you? See how the devil tricks you? Before you know it. Before you know it, he's got you. Well, he ain't got me. Stay with us.
The Alex Jones Show. Because there is a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I am your host, Alex Jones. The websites are newswars.com and infowars.com. What I want to do is, for the rest of this hour into the bottom of the next hour, I want to take 10 calls. That way nobody has to stay on hold too long, and then we'll open the phones up again after that for more questions for our biggest Google whistleblower yet, senior engineer, Fox News. He was just on Fox News this morning, so we're breaking through that electronic Berlin Wall. He is going to be here in studio with us. Also, Vox Day will be joining Zach Voorhees, and Matt Bracken is going to be coming on as well. So all of that today. But again, I want to open the phones up specifically on Trump's statement that he's the chosen one. Now, cut out 5 seconds long, you could say that it was arrogant. But if you listen to the entire statement, that 2.5-minute clip we're going to play again in just a moment, he lays it out that we've been getting chewed up. We've been sold out by all these politicians forever with one-sided deals. And so I've been elected. And he goes, and I've also, he looks up, you know, been the chosen one to do this task. And a prophet's not known in their own country. But Trump is loved around the world by nations that have been under attack by tyrants. And again, I'm a big supporter of Trump because I've been sued and threatened and attacked and harassed over it because I know that he's doing the best job he can. And so they just heap more attacks on him, more attacks. Most other people try to hedge their bets. Well, I'm not hedging my bets. When Trump starts going sideways, the politicians around him, I come out of the gate swinging. But he's not Hillary Clinton. And I told everybody he's not going to push the red flag laws. He's coming to the Democrats saying, okay, what's your proposal? They say ban all semi-autos. And have psychological boards that decide whether you can have a gun or not outside of law, making them judge, jury, and executioner and jail warden. So it's very dangerous to even flirt with that, but that's what I was told Trump is going to do, because it takes the wind out of their sails, and then they never come with their so-called reasonable, which we know isn't reasonable, it's incremental, salami slicing, and then they shoot for the moon, and they miss. They're greedy. They grab for it all, like the globalists do in every place they control, because as the UN said in its own small arms treaty in 2001, civilian ownership of firearms threatens the legitimate power monopoly of the state. Now, that whole statement is very true, except one word, legitimate. Civilian ownership of firearms threatens the legitimate power monopoly of the state. Take out legitimate. Civilian ownership of firearms threatens the power monopoly of the state, which of course it does. Mao Zedong, all political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. And if the people don't have a right to own guns, then they're not the lords of their own destiny. There's been no culture in history that had rulers and slaves where the slaves could have weapons. It's never happened, never will happen again. And so, yeah, it's a messy affair. And tens of thousands get killed a year. Hundreds of thousands get killed a year from cars and drowning, and thousands falling off jet skis. That's the way of the world. Thousands die every year rock climbing. More people die every year falling in their bathrooms than they do from guns. Are we going to ban bathrooms? How about banning existence? Because that's the only way to ever stop bad things happening. If you have children, you're putting them in the world to experience pleasure, experience triumph, experience humiliation, experience pain, experience visions, experiment love, and experience communion with the Almighty. And so you put them into the world so they can experience the third dimension. Their spirits can look through this rose-colored darkly that is our earth suits in the true transcendence that we're all experiencing. And the question is, will you transcend at death, or will you fall? Are you going up, or are you going down? You're getting more complex or less? That's the choice everyone has to make. So again, here's this phenomenal statement by the president that's so clear and so concise and so smooth, because it's true. Imagine how good it feels just to be able to get up there and not lie to people like Bill Clinton or Obama did, but actually get up there and tell them the truth. That's why they have all these shows. Trump's lying to everyone. Oh, we've got 50 buckets of gumballs. Every gumball's a lie. That's a carnival stunt. It's not true. It's their perception that it's a lie. Remember? Our truth over facts, Joe Biden. Our truth, our delusion, our cult. Joe Biden's like Tulsa Doom, saying, come to me, my child, and the cult member jumps off the cliff and crashes down, because that's her truth over facts, over reality. And then you see Tlaib, the leader of the fantastic rat pack, the rats that have left their sinking ships, and then come here to perch and bitch and tell us how much we suck all day so they can be victims to get more goodies. That's why you can't run your own countries, because no one wants to build anything. You just want to run around killing each other, because everybody has a right to rule instead of build. And then we're told by these fallen, twisted individuals that we suck and we're bad because they know we've got those buttons to push. And then we'll then grovel to them. And they see something like Trump saying the long surrender of America is over. And it's quite a fight We've been surrendered for a long time. But you're seeing the real animating contest of liberty. Here is, again, the president's full statement on he's been chosen. He looks to God, chosen by God. Really, you think so, 45th president? You think God chooses presidents? You better hope God's choosing them. Here it is.
The fake news, of which many of you are members, is trying to convince the public to have a recession. Let's have a recession. The United States is doing phenomenally well. But one thing I have to do is economically take on China, because China has been ripping us off for many years. President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama and others should have done this long before me. My life would be much easier, although I enjoy doing it, but my life would be much easier if I just said, let China continue to rip off the United States, all right? It'd be much easier, but I can't do that. We are winning against China. They've lost 2.5 million jobs in a very short period of time. They want to make a deal. It's got to be a deal that's good for the United States. Where they want to make a deal, probably we will make a deal. But if I didn't do that, and I'm not doing this, somebody said it's Trump's trade war. This isn't my trade war. This is a trade war that should have taken place a long time ago by a lot of other presidents. Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion. $500 billion. Ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft. Add that to it. And add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it. So I'm taking on China. I'm taking on China on trade. And you know what? We're winning because we're the piggy bank.
Okay. And then he goes on from there to talk about how he was brought there by the people. But remember, China was set up by the globalists. So they have all the deals with the generals and the Politburo and the Central Committee. And they're sending that money all back, a lot of it to the Democrats and the globalists. And they all brag about this. So they sit around and go, we're such geniuses. The American century's over. China will rule the planet. The dragon century. And they're a bunch of traitors that should be prosecuted and then, after convicted, should be punished as such. And that's just facts. That's not me shooting my mouth off, folks. We all know what needs to be done legally. I talked about this. I never got to it back on Tuesday, but here it is. It's just some of Tlaib. Israel needs to give her free stuff. America needs to give her free stuff. Hey, can I show up in Saudi Arabia and get free stuff, or Somalia, or even nicer Middle Eastern countries like Jordan? No. They laugh at you. But we're all supposed to give free stuff. And you know, the Christians, the whole Middle East used to be Christian till Muhammad showed up. And then now you killed all the Christians and ran them out, and I'm supposed to kiss your butt, lady. I'm not doing it. It's you that ought to pay reparations. You want to say that if any white people ever owned slaves, the Muslims still run slave trade, you wicked whore. God almighty, that's insulting whores. I apologize to prostitutes. Let's play this maggot, this engorged maggot, bitching and complaining, a psychopath, a sociopath, bare minimum, trying to punch our buttons because we have emotions, you big fat demon. Here she is.
As a young girl visiting Palestine to see my grandparents and extended family, I watched as my mother had to go through dehumanizing checkpoints.
How about dehumanizing suicide bombs?
She was a United States citizen and proud American. I was there when my city was in a terrible car accident, and my cousins and I cried so she could have access to the best hospitals, which were in Jerusalem. I remember shaking with fear when checkpoints appeared in the small village of Beit Ur al-Foka.
Oh, hit pause for a minute. Because they got a raw feed. When I was watching on Fox, it showed all the lunatic women up there, all these crazy leftist women that look like starving chicken neck birds or like something out of a Dr. Seuss children's book. And they're all crying and putting on this big act. What happens when you boycott a country? They boycott you. You say Israel should be overthrown, but your whole life you're trying to get in there and get some free stuff. Oh, and I know it belongs to the Arabs because you took it away from the Jews. I get how that works. But see, Islam just keeps expanding. And so if one little spot goes back to anybody who ever had a claim to it, it's the end of the world. There's no media coverage of people whining about Saudi Arabia chopping gays' heads off, or how the West Bank that you support kills gays. You love it, witch. You're a hypocrite. You're a pig. I'm sorry. I got all this stuff to get to. When you see this stuff and the whining, and is Israel perfect? Absolutely not. But the way it's all, oh, black and white, and oh, the Muslims, they never hurt nobody. And I saw articles out yesterday. Fact checkers are going to stop people claiming Islam is behind terror. Because remember, Obama said that's not Islam. How the hell did it expand then in 1,400 years to take over half the planet? Playing tiddlywinks? Think it overran all those other empires and things because it was friendly? Do I want to go over there and bomb the Middle East? Absolutely not. The globalists did that to destabilize the Middle East and take out regimes that were not globalist or expansionist to put in ISIS and Al-Qaeda to then break the borders of Europe. They're gestating it as a big weapon system. I'm going to give the number out to take calls next hour on any subject you wish to discuss. We're only taking 10 of them ahead of our guests joining us. But Trump, the Chosen One statement, all of this, what do you want to get to? What do you want to cover? Open phones, 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539 is the number to join us, 877-789-2539. We'll take your calls. It's hard to watch. I don't mean to call her names, but, you know, she calls us murderers and says that kids are drinking out of toilets and that we got concentration camps where we're, that means you're killing people. Working them to death and killing them is a concentration camp. The British invented them, not the Nazis. And Andrew Jackson's mother and brother died in one when he was in the Revolutionary War. Read a few history books. But, you know, they know that's where they starve you to death. Nobody's starving to death. These are emergency centers. People are pouring in. Most of them don't even have IDs, and we're checking who they are and then releasing them. And you know that, you pig-like liar. And now you're saying we're running concentration camps, just like you say Israel is. It's the same branding, the same crap by a whiny parasite. And I'm done bowing to you and the Democratic Party. Let's go back to her.
I remember visiting East Jerusalem with my then husband and him escorted off the bus, although he was a United States citizen, just so security forces could harass him.
Here, let's stop again. Oh, you want to overthrow Israel, you stage all these events, and then you can't believe that when you drive in from the West Bank, that where suicide bombers attack routinely and people are stabbed to death on a weekly basis and shot, you can't believe anybody at their borders checking you. Meanwhile, as a U.S. citizen, I have to have my balls grabbed because they won't profile Islamicists when I go to the stupid airport because the Muslims have been hijacking aircraft for 60 damn years, witch. I get to live in a police state because the globalists have let you run wild on purpose. And Trump is trying to do something about it and end all these wars and stop stirring you up. Let's go back to her.
As my city's granddaughter, as the granddaughter of a woman who lives in occupied territories, to elevate her voice by exposing the truth the only way I know how. As my Detroit public schools teachers taught me.
Well, you sure ran that in the ground.
Humanizing the pain of oppression. Our delegation.
Hey, pause again. Oh my gosh, it's so oppressive. Let me into Israel. Oh my gosh, it's so oppressive. Let me into America. Go to Somalia. Go fix your own problems with Peanut Head over there. Ilhan Omar, God almighty, her family is a rich, powerful slaver family. I looked it up. Obama's Muslim family in Kenya are slavers. They're slavers of blacks. You know how much people in Kenya and surrounding areas hate those Islamicists? They've been getting killed by them and grabbed by them for 1,000 years. This woman is an abomination. Let's continue.
Forced to participate in military occupation. They also desperately want peace and self-determination for their Palestinian neighbors. They could have shed light into injustice.
You know, all the Muslims do is blow each other up. Here, let's continue.
Child detention. The delegation would have seen firsthand why walls are destructive, not productive. They could have asked the people in Bethlehem how walls cut people off away from economic opportunities, from a way to live.
And again, let's stop right there. I can't listen to much more of this. Now let's hear her talk about her grandmother and the birdcage. This is really, really, really acute. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is all to manipulate your heartstrings. And again, she doesn't say a word about all the stuff that's going on or Christians in the last few holdouts in the Middle East being blown up and killed. Hundreds of Christian churches blown up in Egypt and our own government under Obama backing it. There's no press conferences for them. She won't say a word. In fact, I haven't gotten to this yet. That's why I was playing this. I need to play the Young Turks host. I should have led the show with this. This is what got me thinking about all this. And then I'm kind of, as I always do, getting to the first part last, where he says, we deserve 9/11 and that veterans deserve to be killed. We're going to play that coming up. But let's play her talking about the bird. Here it is.
To my family. And I think my grandmother said it beautifully when she said, I'm her Asfur. Asfur in Arabic means her bird. And she said, I'm her dream manifested. I am her free bird. So why would I come back and be caged and bow down when my election...
Exactly. You came here to crap on us. Turn her off. I can't hear any more of it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same playbook being used against Israel's being used against us. Does that mean the U.S. is perfect? No. Does that mean Israel's perfect? No. But making the U.S. the bad guy constantly, it's all the same crap. Why is everybody trying to get in here if we're so bad? Same thing with Israel. And I'm tired of it. And the left's making their big move right now for racial and cultural division. If the Muslims want to live in peace and want to change their ways, have a referendum, have a, like, I guess Martin Luther, you know, had a renaissance, that's great. But it's not going to happen until the expansionist operations of Islam stop. And it needs to happen now. And I agree with Trump. Let's get our troops out of there and not stir it up either. I was against all those wars. I was against 500,000 dead Iraqi children that Madeleine Albright said was a good price to pay when Clinton quadrupled the sanctions on them. I actually care about the people. And I know what a hypocrite that woman is and how the greatest victims of Islam are the Muslims. Christians are second. And you never hear the media talk about that because there's a real Christian loathing hate as well. Now, I haven't plugged this segment. I want to ask all listeners to take action today and realize we're only running this big special we've been having that sold out of so many products through the weekend, and we need your support. So take action. Get great turmeric. Get great fish oil, krill oils back in. Get great Brain Force Plus, the Nootropic, Turbo Force. Lots of other great deals waiting at InfoWarsStore.com. The World Awakens Mega Sale, 50 to 60% off, and the new film, You Can't Watch This, but myself, Gab McGinnis, and so many others, Laura Loomer, Paul Joseph Watson, Tommy Robinson, is available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Please take action.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
All right, your phone calls are starting right now. And then we have the amazing, really smart guy, really interesting Google whistleblower joining us coming up at the bottom of this hour. And we'll have open phones then as well. I haven't even scratched the surface of the news, but when we start the next segment, I'm going to play that clip of the Young Turks host, also the nephew of the head of the Young Turks. The Young Turks is the name of a anti-Christian genocide movement of brown shirts that Hitler actually modeled the brown shirts off of. You can't make this up. Hitler, along with a lot of his top people, are actually anti-Christian. And that's a fact. I've read the books they wrote, okay? Ludendorff, look up Ludendorff, Hitler's number two for a long time, literally ran a cult that was anti-Christian. But I'm digressing. I'm going to play this clip. It is just monstrously sickening. And the venom, the just it brings my venom out. And so the Young Turks think we're all stupid when the demonic toad, Sinker Poopy, or whatever his name is, struts around, hops around, all propped up by Google. It's such an honor to be blacklisted by that scum. Such an honor to be lied about by such filth. Sinks called me the worst person in the world. Sorry, I'm already getting to it now. I'm so good to have the scum of the earth say that I'm the worst person in the world. What I am is your worst nightmare, filth, because I see you and I will not back down. And you know we're winning, don't you? We're awake now. Just like Grendel tore the arm. You're going to find out. Not physical, though. Spiritual. Just like Beowulf got a hold of that arm. No matter what Grendel did, it got torn out of the socket. And you can feel it just coming out. And you're going to go creep back to mommy. We're going to follow you right back to mommy. You get your milk. Your milky. Funded by Gulf War and Gulf State dictators. What a nice man. And he sees America as this big, fat, juicy pig he can just sink his teeth into, a big, juicy meal. He knows we're asleep, and he can have his way with us. We have morals, and we have compassion, and we have buttons he can push. Those little predator gleaming eyes. And he's with the establishment. He's better than us. He'll show us, won't he? All right, I said I'd go to your calls. We're going to Josh and Doug next segment. Let's talk to Brandon first in Texas. Brandon, thanks for holding her on the air.
Thank you so much, Alex, and I pray to God for you every night.
Thank you. I need it.
Are out here. Absolutely. Listen, my biggest takeaway from this Dr. Robert Epstein and the wonderful Zach Voorhees, okay, is that while it's wonderful that we have the vehicle toward prosecution, that is the election meddling element of the whole Google expose, the biggest takeaway is the question of, are you brainwashed? We now have indisputable evidence that if you follow the left and you follow the narrative of whites are inherently bad or America sucks, then guess what? You're brainwashed, literally.
I mean, that's it. And you know, even on Bill Maher's show, even the Democrats are having to admit, wow, the anti-white thing we've done in the U.S. has been so potent, it's now spread to everyone hating Israel because they're whiter. And it's just, it's insane. Whites are only 9% of the world's population. And let's just say it, everybody's trying to get in our countries. And there's a simple reason. We got Christianity. We were living, you know, in the trees and in the caves, like the, you know, new black Israelites like to joke. And it's true. I mean, had high IQ, smart people, but we were, you know, living like savages, like in Africa, because we were not Christian. The minute we got it, we went straight to the moon. And, you know, what's what we need is, like, got milk, got Jesus. That's what produces success. And that's what's going to unify the planet together under Christ. It's the only way we're not going to destroy ourselves. Doesn't mean we're going to force you to serve Christ. Christ doesn't do that. But the door is always open. The way is Jesus of Nazareth. That is the global unification. The Antichrist will have his counterfeit first. Then we will have the true global unification, world order under Jesus Christ. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Another world. Another time. In the age of wonder. Another world. Another time. His land was green and good until the crystal cracked. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
His name is Hassan. He's funded by Gulf dictators, hundreds of millions, George Soros and Google. He wears jackets that say fascist and has a club in his hand. He's a young Turk. They tasted the blood of 1.5 million Christian Armenians, and they'll taste man flesh again if they have their way. Bow, submit, turn your weapons in to the nephew of Turd Breath, Sink Turd Breath, Hassan Pecker. Can't make up that name. That's his name, Hassan Pecker. And if you're a radio listener, you can't see it. He's got his red stars, his Antifa flags, his communist flags, and he's got his baseball bat, and he's going to call you a fascist, even though he's funded by the Nazi collaborator George Soros, and he's going to attack your daughter like they did out in Oregon. He's going to chase women down. That's what he's pushing, and uninterrupted for the Young Turks members. And this is the sexy death porn, the sexy terror porn. And their desperation as America's pulse comes back and as we stand up against the Chi-Coms and defend the Second Amendment and rediscover God and family. Hassan Pecker of the Young Turks declares that America deserved 9/11, close quote, praises brave soldiers who took Representative Crenshaw's eye. Isn't that just darling? Oh, when you go to a Young Turds event, they always go where there's a big crowd because they don't have any viewers, but it's the Google set. It'll be the Google event. So let's hear from Mr. Pecker. Here he is.
This is so insane.
Oh, hit pause. Hit pause. Back it up. I forgot. He's real jealous that Joe Rogan, who, by the way, is a super libertarian right winger. He just knows how to, you know, survive in L.A., I guess. Really smart guy. That's why I get mad at Joe, because he's as smart as I am or smarter. He knows all this stuff, obsessed with it. He knows more than I do in some cases. And he plays dumb, and I've told him to his face. But anyways, he has the congressman on, and Pecker is mad that he has this tiny audience. So he thinks, well, I'll attack him and say something really scandalous, and then all the meth heads and child molesters that watch my show, literally, they'll think I'm powerful. Oh, you're such a big man, Hassan. I mean, look at Hassan's flabby arms. I bet he's got some big old giant bitch tits. I'm sorry, it's a family show. Just go ahead and roll this.
This is so insane. America deserved 9/11, dude. F*** it. I'm saying it.
We're there to partner with them. We're not there doing our own thing. We're there partnering and training.
In a video
and
game.
Equipping and enhancing their capabilities. So that's part of what we're doing. And the other part is just knowledge. We want to know what's happening.
Like we f- totally brought it on ourselves, dude. Holy s***. We did. We f- did. In a video game, whatever, hypothetically, politically.
Hit
we
pause f- again.
We did, man.
Back it up 10 seconds. Oh, like the Armenians deserved, because they were there before the Muslims took over Constantinople, and then you drove them into the mountains. But because they were Christian, they became still super wealthy because they were such good people. And so you're named after the group that murdered them. And you've got a club, and you say you're coming for us. Let's continue with this psychopathic worm. Here he is.
We f***ing did, man. We did. Holy s***. Holy f***.
He's so intellectual.
Look at the way that this dip is running his f***ing mouth. Justifying genocide right now. Like, how is this? How is anything I'm saying controversial? Like, we fund the people who did 9/11 still to this day. Donald Trump literally went on national television and said, they buy $10 billion worth of weapons. So if they chop, chop, chop an American legal permanent resident, it's okay. Soft power is the exact same as hard power. Soft power, embassies, diplomacy, exact same thing as military bases.
Pause again. See, he doesn't want the U.S. to have anything, to not export our way of life, not the globalist system that hijacked us for 50 years, but we're back, baby, and everybody's waving American flags going, yeah, we want that. We're back, slime bag, and we're pulling out of these countries, dirtbag. You're the one that gets money from Gulf states. They get money from Saudi Arabia and Qatar on record. And then they sit there and then say that Crenshaw is. Let's continue.
Same thing as military bases. I can't do this. This guy has the understanding of foreign policy of like a 12-year-old.
Of the foreign policy.
What the fuck is wrong with this dude? Didn't he go to war and like literally lose his eye because some Mujahideen, a brave soldier, f***ed his eye hole with their dick? Isn't that how he lost his f***ing dumbass eye? Because he got his f***ing eye hole f***ed?
This is a deranged pervert. I apologize for having to play that for everybody, but that's why I was so angry this morning. I mean, this is all completely out of control. All right, I said I'd go to your phone calls. We're going to your phone calls. Doug wants to make a good point because I see Beto said he was the anointed one, the chosen one, out in the desert seeing like he was Jesus. Trump just said I was elected by the people and chosen. He looks up to God like a preacher says. I was chosen. I was anointed. God commissioned my heart to go into the seminary. I mean, that's a totally normal statement. And Trump's kidding. He's always been Christian as a traditionalist, but not really. Let me tell you, Trump has had conversations with me about the energy at churches and black churches particularly. We talk about energy at crowds, and that's how me and Trump hook up, on the same wavelength. And it's all about energy, you see. And Trump's into it, and Trump loves Jesus. Here, let's go ahead and I'll go to your call. Doug, thanks for holding. Go ahead, from Connecticut.
Afternoon, Alex. How you doing, brother?
Good. What do you want to chime in on about Beto and message to Trump, chosen one comment?
Well, I'll start with Trump. I haven't seen Trump yet make a comment that is stupid, I guess would be the word, because he puts the comments out and then the left rolls with it and they make, fools of themselves. So if you can't see that Trump is doing Christ-like things for this country and the world, if you can't see the opposite side of evil out there, you're not looking in the right place. What do they say?
You know a man by his enemies, and evil is having a you-know-what fit. They are pulling their hair out.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen any. It's very spiritual. It's a spiritual war. That's what it is, Anyways, with Beto, I call him Beto the Dork, and I found out who I think they cloned him from. You know at the car dealerships, they have the flailing arm tube man there? He has the rhythm cadence of one of those things. And I was watching something on the Nazis last night, and Joseph Goebbels had the same distorted rhythm that Beto has. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Beto radiates con artist. He radiates a fraud. He radiates disingenuousness. I mean, I can't look at him. He just radiates fraud. And you look at Trump, he just radiates reality. I mean, I'm sorry. My spirit goes, that's the truth. That guy's for real. And my gut's never wrong. I look at Beto or Bill Clinton. They call him a good speaker. I mean, I couldn't stand Bill Clinton. Hillary Clinton looks like a jack-o'-lantern demon. And then Beto O'Rourke, pull back on that image for TV viewers. He's got his hands in his pockets, or behind his back like Ronald Reagan would do. It's all phony. And notice, he was their Messiah from the desert. He was their Jesus of Nazareth. Where is he now? Where did his campaigning in Mexico get him? Where did his blaming America for the Antifa guy? That's what it was down there in El Paso. It got him nowhere. Nowhere, Doug.
Another thing, I just want to know, we got Beto the Dork here. I'm wondering where these people get their names, right? We got Epstein's girl there.
Stay there. I want to hear about this when we come back. Yeah. Finish up, Doug. Then Josh, Charles, Chris, Jacob, Ryan, and Ronnie. And then the big Google whistleblower in studio for round two. Google is going to have a heart attack. All right, we're jumping right back into your phone calls. Please don't forget, you're not supposed to listen to this show or watch it. That means if you are tuned in and watching or listening, you are an ambassador for this forbidden broadcast. So the David Knight program, weekday mornings, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Yours truly, Alex Jones, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the War Room, Owen Schroyer, kicking butt, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central, more shows coming in September. Okay, I want to go back to Doug and a bunch of others just briefly. We have to end this special. It was a store-wide 50 to 60% off. We sold out of more than 30 items, most of the water filters, just a whole bunch of stuff because the deals were so good. I mean, literally, I was making like $35 on the water filters the competitors are like $300. We usually sell them for $250, discounted to $170-something. It's ridiculous. And we've got a few of those Pro Pures and Alexa Pures left that are great models, but it was the big models everybody bought up. Ultimate Krill Oil, back in stock. I'm going to pull that this weekend for 50% off because it's so popular now. It's almost sold out in 2 weeks. BrainForce Plus, Knockout Bodies. It's all 50% off to 60% off. InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of the World Awakens Mega Sale, which is going to have to end on Monday. And you can't watch this documentary that I'm in. A lot of others are in. They weren't going to put it out on DVD. I think it's a good film. So I worked with them and said, I'll buy a bunch if you'll make them. And so we did. And so we've got that. No reviews yet. It's kind of a sad film, but it's good to show leftists. It's a good film. Little bit of the editing, you know, like, well, I'm not going to get into it. Because in the extras, it's even better. It's a whole bunch of extras. Really good film. You can't watch this. Watch it. Give it to the library. Pay it forward. Leave it at the barbershop, whatever. That's how we win the info war. Okay, Doug in Connecticut, you got another point you wanted to make. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, I got some 2020 presidential news. But first, I just want to ask you, where do these people get these names? I mean, you got Epstein's girlfriend there, Ghislaine Maxwell. I mean, that's like some girl you knew in high school or something, you know? Then you got Pete Buttigieg over there, Dick Painter, and let's not forget, like, Buck Sexton.
Well, but sure. Anyway. I mean, it's like Dirk Diggler. All of this is a joke. Beto is not his name. I appreciate your call. When you're down in Mexico, you see people named Beto. But it's just made up. They're carpetbaggers, and I just see a carpetbagger as anybody coming from one place to another to abuse people they see that are rural. And the O'Rourkes are just, in my view, a criminal syndicate, and his wife and his father-in-law are just horrible globalists. And so he's just a criminal. That's all he is. And so if he can, like, go, oh, I'm Beto, Hispanics can't stand that. Everybody can't stand being manipulated like that. I mean, imagine if I was a car salesman and I walked out to a Hispanic family and I just expected they don't like America and that they don't speak English. And I go, would you like taco? And oh, how you do? I don't like America. They'd be like, well, I'm not buying a car here. I love America. It's the way they treat people, and it's rich white people. And I'm not just saying that to get brownie points bashing white people, because that's in. It's weird billionaire white people that have no connection to reality that play all these race games. Trump comes from his dad, who was blue collar, self-made. Trump worked all the blue collar folks. He knows how to get stuff done. He's a guy that gets down in the trenches. And he just straight shoots the same. You ever hear Trump put on a weird accent for some group of people? You ever heard me do that? I've been around liberals, and you'll have a Hispanic waiter, and they'll go, how you do? And the person's like, I'm doing just fine. It's condescending. It's a joke. And all the studies show liberals virtue signal and dumb their words down for minorities. I mean, if a black person walks over to me, I don't go, how are you doing today? Can you talk? I mean, it's so insulting. Be around white liberals, man. I've been around my whole life seeing it. They will talk to Hispanics and black folks like they're idiots. It's disgusting. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I'm out of control here. Josh from Georgia, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, long-time listener. I just wanted to say thank you so much for everything that you have shown me over the years. I want to plug the iodine X2. I've been taking it for like 3 weeks, and we found out a couple days ago that my wife is pregnant. So that was awesome. I wanted to talk about Trump being the chosen one. I mean, just all across the board, man, that guy is so smart. Like, he'll say something and you won't see anything for like 3 or 4 weeks. And then all of a sudden you'll see him bring that back into play. The pedophile.
And that's why they all say he's so dumb. It's why they all say he doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, he's senile. Meanwhile, Joe Biden cannot say a single sentence. I watch his speeches. I'm like, oh, maybe these are compilations. And I'll watch a speech when it's on TV. And it's like, wow, I'm 3 minutes in. He's done 2 gaffes. He's mumbling every other word. This is unwatchable.
Yeah, they have to be in panic mode right now. And it's so funny because there's no way anybody up there is going to beat Trump. One other thing I wanted to say is a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned Shepherd's Chapel. And, man, I used to listen to them for years. And it's almost like that's the only place I can go and, like, really get a good study of the Bible. Churches nowadays, they like say one scripture and then they give a whole sermon on like some man-made thought. But like, you are like the Shepherd's Chapel, man, like really getting down to the nitty-gritty. And
well, here's what I try to do. I try to be honest. And so when I'm angry and stuff, I'm angry on air, and sometimes it sounds like I'm being pretty nasty. I'm just being real, how I feel at a gut level. And I'm worldly. I have a fleshful side. That's the rose color, darkly. I love God. I have the Holy Ghost, all of it. But I am a worldly, mean, aggressive person. And I don't like being pissed on. And I'm just here trying to get conservatives and Christians, no matter what color you are, and just veterans, gun owners, people that want to be free, to stop rolling over. You don't need to go out and have a war or bomb something or shoot somebody. Don't do that. Obviously, you're not. You need to aggressively defend your ground and aggressively start shooting your mouth off and then also reaching out to others that are on the fence. This is a war. They want to bully us, and they're not going to get what they're looking for. As I've said a million times, I don't know how it's going to end for InfoWars, but I know how it ends in the end for everybody, and we win. But if they want to fight, they better believe they got one. God bless you. Okay, Josh, thank you. Charles in Colorado, you're on the air, sir. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. Good talking to you.
Hey, no, it's because of you. I've been listening to you every day since back in 2015 when Trump came on there, was getting ready to run. And so that roller coaster ride of all the, you know, the guests that you had talking about the Hillary Clinton and all that. But Donald Trump is the ultimate president. I cannot even begin to talk about everything that he's done. I don't see how people don't see what all this good stuff he's doing.
I mean, I've got to say, that's why he models himself after Andrew Jackson, because Andrew Jackson was even bigger badass than George Washington, and it's a close second for Washington. But, I mean, Jackson was like, you talk about anointed. You talk about unkillable. I mean, they basically said the guy was a zombie. I mean, you could shoot him, stab him, whatever. He'd work 3 days in a row, no sleep, never defeated. I mean, he was the real deal. He was in war from ages 10 to 16 in the Revolutionary War as a message runner. He was killing people by 11. So, I mean, I'm just telling you, you talk about Commando, Conan the Barbarian, it was Andrew Jackson. But absolutely, Trump is amazing. And we should celebrate the fact that he's amazing compared to all the trash we've had. They don't want us to celebrate Trump. They want us to be embarrassed. I will celebrate Trump more than ever. I realize that's key to do. What do you say?
I'm definitely the most important thing I think he's done on a spiritual level is he's exposed everything that we've been talking.
God bless you, Charles. Yes, it's a spiritual battle. That is the critical key. We'll be back with Ryan, Ronnie, and others, and our special guest in the studio. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Two, even more in-depth, your questions coming up. Zach Voorhees, the Google Edward Snowden level leaker of their attempt to steal 2020, their attack on 2016 coming up. We'll finish up with these calls and then just continue throughout the broadcast. Vox Day coming up as well, Matt Bracken. But here's one of these great little promo pieces that's up at memeworld.com that the great Carpe Donctum has launched. Memeworld.com. You think they blocked your memes? You think they censored you? They can't stop you sharing that URL. Victory or death, ladies and gentlemen. Here is the latest from MemeWorld.com.
Okay, odds are you're one of the people in America who's better off today than 3 years ago. And now you've got some smug Democrat calling you racist and trying to jam one hand in your ass and another in your pocket. So at a time when taxes are down, jobs are up, and the economy is way up, it'd be nice if there were a candidate who had more to offer than making you pay for other people. Well, the eagle has landed. Say hello to President Donald J. Trump. He ain't just making America great again. Trump's doing things no president has ever done before. He's keeping promises, packing courts, defending the border, rebuilding our military, and making Chuck Schumer cry like a schoolgirl with two skinned knees. This president is 6'3" of let's put America first. And oh yeah, immigration, jobs, drug prices, nobody's got better numbers. The game has changed, and the Democrats are officially f***ing crazy. So keep America great. Stand with Trump in 2020.
Et something, three, wicked. Great patriot. So excited to see the wonderful work over at MemeWorld.com. When I was talking to Carpe Donctum off air before he visited the White House, and he said, yeah, they're censoring the Donald and everything's getting shut down. And I said, you need to build a site where somebody needs to do it, and I'm not good at all that. We're overwhelmed. He said, it's funny. I'm looking into that. What do you think of these URL names? And I said, great. And then the day he launches it, they ban it on Facebook, but it still went viral. Everyone should tweet MemeWorld.com because memes are how people communicate now. It's really art. It's modern political illustrations. And Google and Facebook and Twitter have made it public enemy number one. Again, I harp on this because they wouldn't let the RNC put out a meme. It's just a card. Like, you know, a rock band says, come to our show, and it has some art and some images and, you know, a saying. It's art advertising something or promoting an idea, imparting something. And they said, oh, you can't say that because some people aren't women. That's the level of cult-like mental illness beyond 1984. Now, Zach Voorhees on Twitter at Perpetual Maniac. Before you get into part two and phone calls and just, you know, you're the big whistleblower. As other whistleblowers have said, you are the Edward Snowden with the data dump you put out. Yep. It's massive, and I want to get into so many areas with you today. But first, what has it been like for you in the last 3 weeks since you emerged, since you went public, since you resigned from Google?
This disclosure has turned into a cultural movement. It's a snowball that keeps on getting larger and larger and larger. And it turns out that everyone's had problems with Google censorship, especially the content creators on YouTube. And they're all looking for, you know, someone that is going to bring them together in order to unify the voice so that we can confront Google and hold them to their own standards of representing the user, representing their voice, and making the world's information like universally accessible, which is one of their mission statements. And they're not beholden to their own mission statement, and we're going to hold them up to their own standard. So, you know, this is a cultural movement. I didn't realize how big this was going to get, but here we are, and I'm dedicated to pushing this as far as we can take it.
We were talking last night or yesterday afternoon. You were really eloquent. We were in there having lunch together, and you were almost shaking. I mean, it was almost religious. You were talking about the weight off you, but getting into it more and how good it's felt to do this versus what it was like being awake at Google the last few years, the last three of your eight, and feeling dirty and bad, because that's the greatest currency in the universe. Kind of repeat what you said over salad.
Yeah. So, you know, when I was at Google, I was part of this system of what I would call cultural subversion. It didn't start off that way, but that's what it became. And I felt guilty because I was taking money from the system and it was giving me a very comfortable life. And it was sort of buying my silence. And I felt that I was personally being enriched, but that I was doing something, I was part of something that was fundamentally evil. And so, you know, when I came forward and I disclosed what Google was really doing to the population, it was an act of an atonement. You know, I was taking this burden that was on my soul and I was releasing it. And
true alchemy, spiritual alchemy. You were transmuting it.
I was transmuting it. I was transmuting this thing that was, for lack of a better word, sinful, and turning it into an act of disclosure, an act of awakening, an act of revelation for the people to understand what's really going on.
Well, that's the thing. The left always acts like you can come to them for redemption, but you can only get redemption with your own soul and your own personal decisions you make with the universe. And the left and all the studies, the most unhappy people out there, because they're not real liberals. Classical liberals, you know, were the most happy people in older studies. Now the terms mean nothing. But people say, man, you're such a hero, never backing down. I am as high as a kite on this. When I plug into telling the truth, I get high, too much energy. It's people say, what drugs are you on? Other than like caffeine and occasionally some alcohol, whatever, nothing. But I'm surging with this because it's human destiny, it's spirit, it's will. And so people call up thanking me. I'm like, you're thanking me for doing this? Any persecution or attacks or pain is nothing compared to the ecstasy of telling the truth.
Right. And someone that is armed with the truth and researches it is able to confront people that have, you know, that they are credentialed through the system. And you can go to them and you can say, look, like this contradicts what you're saying. And if you know that truth, then you can, you know, take down entire castles that are built on a foundation of
lies. That's it. Truth's so powerful. Even though they suppress it, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, when they suppress it, it's when it explodes.
That's right. You know, they can only...
It's like a nuclear reaction.
And the reason why it's a nuclear reaction is because they're pushing back against this truth. And they can only push back against it for so long and so hard until the truth builds up like a dam of water
chain reaction.
The whole thing comes out. You know, and right now what we're seeing is we're seeing the cracks in that dam form. And the dam is starting to break. And so...
And they know it. They're all running to emergency bunkers and building airfields in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, they're terrified. They're terrified, you know, of the truth coming out. They're terrified...
Because with all that money and power, they want to screw little kids? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the, you know, the subversion. It's actually a really complicated subject of why that happens. And I didn't want to believe it until... But as a psychologist, as one of my backgrounds, I was like, well, if this exists, then there's going to be a lot of people coming to a therapist. And it turns out that there's this whole organization of therapists that are treating satanic ritual abuse victims. And it was like estimated there's like 2 million.
Oh, I personally have run into it. I didn't believe this back 25 years ago when Ted Gunderson and all these high-level FBI was telling me this. And these are like really famous, smart, you know, professional dudes and like CIA, Vietnam veteran colonels and stuff. And I thought these guys are crazy. I'd be sitting around with these guys. They were really, Alex, you got to expose it. It's really real. And now it's all true.
Yeah.
People think I'm the guy that exposed all this. No.
No, 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 no. This has been going on. And this has been burning very slowly. And the fact that it's been covered up by the media means that they're in on it. And the rest of the media that kind of doesn't talk about it is because they know that. Well, they've seen what happens when people talked about it, like in the 80s and the 90s. They get their careers destroyed and they get slandered and then they end up in prison. And, you know, people are scared to talk about this. And so as a result of this, like, conspiracy of silence.
That infects everybody else and that's how they get compromised.
Yeah.
You wanted to hit something big, though, when we come back. Just tell us what's coming up briefly.
We're going to talk about how we got here with the left, and we're going to be talking about cultural subversion, and then we're going to be talking about tactical operations on how to take down the thought police.
This guy is smart cookie. Zach Voorhees is our guest, Infowars.com, NewsWars.com. We'll finish up some of these callers, too, and then open the phones up for questions for him. Stay with us and spread the live feed. We're live at Infowars. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Only way it spreads, like a virus, as CNN said, is you spreading it. Thank you so much for spreading the cure to the globalist disease, the anti-human New World Order disease, the pro-human future, NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, Summit.News that Paul Watson's heading up, and other great sites like MemeWorld.com. That's not the site I run, but it's definitely a new exciting site they're scared of and trying to suppress MemeWorld.com.
They're even intercepting it when people message each other through WhatsApp and they're like, check out Meme World. And then WhatsApp is intercepting that message and deleting it.
That's the next level, your personal text messages, and still Trump doesn't act. We'll talk about it with the Google insider, Zach Voorhees, here in a moment. But first, they're trying to intimidate us. Here's Joe Biden, who can barely talk, molesting a microphone creepily. Oh, we'll show you the pain. Hey, we're awake now. We weren't under your control because we were intimidated. We were asleep, Biden. Here it is.
He thinks he's being tough. But like everything else, he's always tough when he's not the guy getting hit. He's always tough when someone else is feeling the pain. And he's not.
And he's not.
but we're going to make him feel the pain.
What a creepy person. Oh, yeah, Trump's not feeling any pain. He's lost billions of dollars, over 1,000 lawsuits against him. They're attacking his whole family. They're trying to put him in prison, trying to say he's a Russian agent when they're the globalist. I mean, this is an amazing point. Zach Voorhees, the biggest Google whistleblower. You say more is coming. I want to get into this and then calls next hour, but I want to get into your next big area where you want to expose how the manipulation takes place to a wider audience and really get people, as you said, the Socratic method to look it up for themselves. Very exciting perspectives you have. But specifically, the attempt to bully, the attempt to intimidate. I don't think I know we're going to see a lot more whistleblowers come out. And I know that Google's been really scared of that. The New York Times, I had this New York Times serpent, part of this operation I talked to one day in person here in Austin, and they came out of one of my court cases. And when I said, don't worry, the leakers are coming, humanity's awakening, you won't stop America, she started shaking. I mean, these people are literally like Gollum creatures from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and they get triggered really easily. And so the question is, like, why are there so many people that are in this state of mind? And the answer to that is a process called ideological subversion, which is a an agenda-driven toolkit of mind control. And the reason why we know a lot about this is because we had a KGB defector in the 80s by the name of Yuri Bezmenov, who came and described and disclosed what the KGB were doing in order to flip a nation and turn them into Soviet Marxist-Leninism is what he described.
Well, it's cultural Marxism to sabotage the nation. And people will say, oh, see, it's a Russian conspiracy. No, the U.S. working with the British, or the foundations in 1917, took over Russia, and then psychologists and psychiatrists in Europe and the U.S. ran the attacks through the Soviet and then reprojected the attack out of Russia back at the West, just like the globalists run China today and reproject the attack.
Right. And Yuri Bezmenov was responsible for that ideological subversion program in Pakistan. And he didn't actually understand what the repercussions of what he was doing were going to be. But what ended up happening is that all his friends got murdered because not his friends from Russia, but his friends in Pakistan that he was talking to, because he was collecting these intellectuals and reporting back to the Soviets what they were doing, and they all got killed. And so he came out and defected to the United States in order to warn us that this was coming to the United States. And so if we can load up that first video at Mark 120, what we're going to see is sort of the definition of what ideological subversion is at a high level.
Here it is.
The Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion. What do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the process which is legitimate, overt, and open. You can see it with your own eyes. All you have to do, all American mass media has to do, is to unplug their bananas from their ears, open up their eyes, and they can see it. There's no mystery. There's nothing to do with espionage. I know that espionage intelligence gathering looks more romantic. It sells more deodorants through the advertising, probably. That's why your Hollywood producers are so crazy about James Bond type of thrillers. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of intelligence at all.
It's info war.
According to my opinion and opinion of many defectors of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of American
Let's keep going.
The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over-fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his
strong women.
Experts would even dream of such a tremendous success.
Oh, yeah.
Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information.
And that's Antifa.
Tell nothing to him. Even
totally
if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization.
All right, and then it'll be too late.
And yeah, so it's really important to, if we can just pause it right here, is that a lot of people are like, what?
I was airing that on Access TV 25 years ago.
Were you? Yeah, it's great.
I'm not bragging. It's just, I haven't played that in years. I'm glad you mentioned it.
There's so much footage.
But it's dead on. And then once you start it, it keeps rolling. But it didn't come out of Russia. The infection was sent because the globalists had a dictatorship once they took the czars out to do it in Russia. They did it in China as well. Then they redirect it back at us.
Right. And so people are like, well, who are they? Right. And specifically, if you want to research this yourself, I want to ask a question to the audience. Who is the Tavistock Institute? And what did they have to do with the Beatles? And when you look at like their involvement, what you'll see is that a lot of these, what we thought were organic cultural movements, were actually designed by social engineers to capture the youth of America. And what they had was a long multi-generational plan to change the perception of reality for the citizens of America.
And that's all declassified.
This is all declassified.
It's not an opinion. And it's not even so much what the music is. It's what the Beatles say politically. And, of course, you know, John Lennon revolted against that. And at the end, we had the letters from Senator Strom Thurmond saying, kill this son of a bitch. And they did.
They did. They got rid of him. And a lot of the cultural heroes that we have end up dying, before their time. And Bob Marley was one of them, you know, John Lennon. And if, you know, anyone who breaks free comes under danger, like, look at Yee. Like, he went, you know, off script and started, you know, supporting Donald Trump and trying to wake up the masses, saying the whole system is lying.
They tried to put him in a mental institution.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, he's in a mental institution. That's all you heard about it. And then you look in to, you know, what he was really saying, and you're like, oh no, he wasn't crazy. He was just going off script and going against the manufactured narrative that's being pumped into the minds of Americans.
And it scared him so much. We had to play a little minute intro promo when we come back. And so I want to open the phones up. These callers are another subject, but it's all the same subject, divide and conquer and toxic culture. So we'll take those calls from Ryan and Ronnie. Then we'll open the phones up again specifically to talk to Zach Voorhees and get into your questions for the most important Google whistleblower, certainly the most courage and the most prolific. And they're trying to not respond to it. When I heard he was going on Fox today, I thought, man, somebody's going to kill that at the higher levels. And so far, they rescheduled it. So we want to have this break out. Only you can make sure it gets out there. So spread the live links.
We are drugged out. We are following other people's opinions. We are controlled by the media. Today, it all changes. This reality has been forced upon us. It is a choice, just like when I said slavery is a choice. Einstein says the definite of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So we keep on saying, I hate you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. How are we gonna get a different result out of hate? Why don't we just try love? Why don't we just try love? We have the resources for a peaceful world. You know, sometimes you need some crazy motherfuckers to change something. Steve Jobs is crazy. Now we all on Steve Jobs' phones. They say Trump's crazy. They say I'm crazy. But I'm here to show love. It's a bigger plan, and I'm just doing what the universe told me.
resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, Vox Days will be popping in for two segments next, and then we're going to take your phone calls. I'm going to finish up with two callers that have been holding, Ryan and Ronnie. Zach Voorhees, the big Google whistleblower, the biggest data dump, the Ed Snowden, but other Google folks are calling him a big tech. But you were just asking me, and I thought about telling the story, but I never told it. If we've ever had Kanye West on the show, you know, I know he's a listener. I've talked to folks in his entourage and all that. And we were talking like a year ago, or more than a year ago, to his security people. And they were like, well, does Jones have guns on top of the buildings and all this stuff where I joked around about that? And, you know, black helicopters and stuff. And the producer goes, oh, yeah, you know, our security can beat up your security. They actually took it serious. I guess that's South Side Chicago. So it's just, but obviously his security already didn't want him to come on the show. But here's the thing. My audience built the Trump platform for him to launch on. So, see, we're not trying to get into the system. We built the whole new launch. And a lot of others did as well. So I like being the guy in the wilderness. I don't even care if somebody like Kanye West comes on the show. He already has courage. He's already doing a great job. I get all these calls, and we talk to all these really high-powered, big, famous people, and they go, oh, I listen to the show all the time. I love the show, but I'm scared to come on. But please don't tell people. I was just listening yesterday. That's fine. It's okay, because we see what you're doing in testimony to Congress. We see what you're doing when you get the chance out there on the national news. We see what all these good folks like, you know, Kurt Russell and everybody else are, you know, saying when they get a chance to go on TV. So it's all there. You don't need to come on the show. You just go out and say it in the world, and we all know what's going on. It's not about getting the credit. It's about beating these dehumanizers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, and so hopefully Kanye will come on your show one day, because he needs to talk to the people and, you know, tell your audience like why he did what he did and why he decided to break from the script and tell the truth.
Well, everybody knew Trump was super nice and had a lot of great opportunities with black folks and was always very, very, you know, nice and opened up golf courses 45 years ago when they were only white and all the rest of it. Everybody knows that. So the black rappers and stuff really feel guilty that they've been crapping on Trump, like Snoop Dogg says Trump's the greatest guy ever. Now Trump's a Nazi. And so it's just Kanye that isn't a coward.
Yeah, that's right. So we thank Kanye for telling the truth.
And, yeah, he's already done what he needs to do. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Should we take some calls?
Yeah, we're going to do it, but I went too long. So we got Vox Day coming up, and I promise Ryan and Ronnie first when we come back. Tell us some of the topics, the reason you wanted to get Vox Day on.
So the reason why I want to get Vox Day is because first I want to tell the audience about ideological subversion and how they create these SJWs. And then I want to talk about the tactics of taking down the thought police. And so the author of that manual is Vox. So I'm really happy to
SJWs always lie. SJWs always double down. Two books. We carry both of them along with his great comic books at InfoWarsStore.com.
Yeah, I recommend
everyone. No reviews on that, because we were selling it, then we weren't selling it, now we're selling it again. I just put the new order in today, but you'll get them very, very quickly.
It's a top seller at Amazon. There's a lot of people that read this book, so I recommend it for everyone to check it out. And if you don't want to buy it, see the excerpts, and then you're going to want to buy it. So
smart stuff. So we'll get a look at this book on the other side of Vox Day, and then your phone calls, so be patient. Ryan and Ronnie have already been holding, so we'll get to you, and then we'll open the phones up again for more questions. Matt Bracken understands. We're going to commandeer at least 15 minutes in the next hour, so we have more time to take calls as well. If you have questions for my guest, it'll be about 30 minutes to get to your calls, but if you want to start racking those calls up, 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539, specifically for our guest, Zach Voorhees, the big Google whistleblower. A very rare chance to ask original, hard-hitting questions directly to somebody who the establishment does not want speaking out.
The power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back live broadcasting worldwide from the InfoWars News Center in Austin, Texas, in defiance of the globalist attempt to shut us down. Remember, you're the road, the bridge on which this bus is traveling on. You're the air in which this bird flies. Without you supporting us, we are not here. You are the InfoWar. This is what you built. You're seeing the giant results of the human desire for liberty and common sense. Box stays with us for two segments. I want him to pop in because you were talking about his book helping really wake you up. We were selling it. We weren't again. I don't know why we sell out of something. We never reorder it. We take it down. But we've reordered it. It'll be here in a week. So get it at InfoWarsStore.com. SJWs always lie, and SJWs always double down. Put that lower third up. Again, InfoWarsStore.com. Today, and that funds our operation. So thank you all. So we got two segments here, and then Vox has got to go. Let's get into the seminal book and why you think it's so important.
The reason why it's important is because if you don't understand how the left operates and has been indoctrinated in order to achieve cultural change, then what's going to happen is that you're going to make a mistake. And I'll give you an example. A lot of people think that they have to apologize, and that if they apologize and like do an atonement, that the problem's going to go away. And what they get,
that's really empowering the jellyfish.
It is, because what they're looking for is that they're actually looking for your apology as a tactic so that they can parade the apology around and say, look, this person admits that they're a bad person. And then what they're going to do is they're going to use it to slime you and destroy you. And this happens over and over and over again. And so one of the most important lessons that I learned from SJWs Always Lie is never apologize to the left, because they're not going to let you go. It's just a tactic that they're going to use in order to hurt you. You know, Vox is here today, and, you know, he's better at telling his book than I am. So,
And again, he's writing a playbook about their playbook. They admit all of this in their Rules for Radicals, a pledge to Lucifer. I mean, these are cold-blooded manipulators, and all the studies show it. The biggest thing I ever woke up to was like 10 years ago, that even low-level liberals know they're evil, know it's a scam, and know they're just seeking power and trying to punch our buttons. So Vox...
Well, hold on. I want to add to that. You said that like they pledge to Lucifer, and people will not believe you, but if you want to verify what Alex Jones is saying, go and download Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and look at who he dedicated the book to. And you'll see that what Alex Jones is saying is 100% true. And then here's a question for the audience. Which presidential candidate recently, that's been recently in the last 3 years, did their dissertation thesis on Saul Alinsky tactics?
Hillary.
Okay, the ding-ding-ding puzzle solved. Yeah, it was Hillary. So she did her...
Oh, wait, sorry. That's the Socratic method.
That's the Socratic method, but that's okay. So it's Hillary.
Oh, we don't do breadcrumbs here. We just go right to the end.
Yeah.
But you're right. People want to follow the breadcrumbs. Hey, Vox, thanks for popping in with this big plug for your book. Wherever people get it, they should get it. It's a bestseller, but we sell it at InfoWarsStore.com. But it has woken a lot of folks up. They do always lie. Why do they always lie?
Because the truth is anathema to them. And you know, I'd like to first of all say thanks to Zach for writing what is probably the most powerful book review I've ever seen of any of my nonfiction. It's very inspiring to see that people are taking what was written as a work of philosophy and turning it into a tactical operation manual. That's really encouraging. A lot of people don't realize, but for a period of about 2 years, SJW's Always Lie was actually the best-selling political philosophy book on Amazon, ahead of Machiavelli, ahead of Plato, ahead of Aristotle, and so forth. And the thing is that the more philosophically true your actions are, the more dedicated to the truth that you are, the more effective that your actions are going to be. And so, yeah, this was back when SJW's Always Double Down came out, and it was interesting to see how the top three bestsellers in political philosophy, ahead of Plato, ahead of all the famous John Locke and Hobbes and so forth, were Stefan Molyneux and I. But what Zach did was exactly right. He waited, he gathered information, he did his research, and then he took his shot at the appropriate time. And that is what terrifies Google. That's what terrifies the various Converge corporations, is that there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people like Zach inside their operations. You know, a couple of years ago, or 2 years ago, I think, Google canceled a company-wide meeting because they didn't want me publishing their notes from the meeting on my blog. They knew that I have, they know that I have a line directly into their communication system. But, you know, it's not Zach. There's, like I said, there's dozens of Googlers who do not appreciate what Google is trying to do.
And there's a lot more every day.
Yes.
Exactly.
So Vox, we're going to get more next segment into the book itself, but expanding on this, just as Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals is a technical manual, yours is, just to understand their mindset and just how nasty they are, so we don't project humanity onto them because we have humanity. We need to realize just how nasty and bottomless these people are. But specifically, what are you expecting just politically at this point to happen soon? Because things are getting crazy. They're getting crazier and crazier. I mean, this thing is boiling over.
Well, I think that the economic crash is coming soon. I think that we're looking at another situation. I think that we're basically in late 2007. And that...
And that's, you know, the establishment's counter to nationalism, you think, is this?
No, I don't think it's actually an intentional counter. I think that the system is creaking. I mean, when you've got interest rates actually going negative in Germany and in other European countries, you've got...
No, I understand that, but Trump's trying to prop it up, and people like Bill Maher on the left are openly, and the four former Federal Reserve heads are running around screaming the sky's falling. I agree the system, all the world, screwed up in a bubble, but I mean, do we really want to pop it now? Because they want to blame it on Trump.
Well, yes, but the thing is, it's going to pop while Trump is president, because Trump is going to win in 2020, and there's no way that the
No, I agree with you. So how far can we kick it? But we want to kick it past 2020 so we get Trumplet in, right?
I don't think it matters. I think that, you know, I correctly predicted that Trump was going to win in 2016, in fairly early 2015. I said right after the election, you know, we actually put up Trump Slide 2020 shirts the day after the election, not because we were just trying to, you know, improve morale or anything, but because I was convinced that the Democrats simply don't have anyone who can even begin to compete with the man.
We have the same analysis. So then looking forward to 2020, how do you see that the cards falling?
Well, I think that Trump is going to, regardless of whether there is a economic crisis or not, Trump is going to win in 2020 and by a bigger margin than he did in 2016. And that's really, to bring it back to the Google situation, you know, that's where I actually discovered what was going on in Google, because there were, you know, they were running around demanding, and I'm sure Zach can testify to this, there were Googlers running around demanding that anyone who voted for Trump should be disemployed.
Oh, that came out in the news.
They should be.
Talk about a cult.
Right, exactly.
Like, you can't work here if you're a Republican.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, you know, and they've got this, like, idea that if you are supporting a presidential candidate, that you're engaging in wrongthink, and that therefore anything against you is justified because you are fundamentally a bad person. And so, you know, voting records are public, I believe, so they can come after you, and it's a really scary situation.
Well, that's like Castro publishing Trump donors, and then a bunch of them were his donors too. Like, a lot of people just give to both sides. What an idiot. We'll be right back with Vox Day. Stay with us. These guys, we got loaded phones and great questions, but I'd like to invite you back on as a regular guest. I know you showed some interest and want to do your own show. Absolutely. You're made for talk radio. Really smart guy. You get all the different angles of trying to get people to see how they're being manipulated from different perspectives. So me and Vox talked about, Vox and I talked about him doing a show. We never got around to it. Maybe you guys should do a show together. It's just that I've been busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. And so all these projects I want to launch haven't happened the last few years because I've had 30-plus lawsuits. And you wouldn't hear in the news I've gotten 20-plus thrown out, and it's cost, you know, $5 million or whatever. But we're winning thanks to you. But it's been one hell of a fight. So please remember InfoWarsStore.com for all of your great nutraceuticals, books, T-shirts, films, you name it. Vox Day is our guest. And we've got him for one more segment, and we're going to take phone calls after that for our guest here in studio, Zach Voorhees. But finishing up, Vox, why your book's so important, how it's woken up so many, I would say, who are classical liberals like Zach, to really see the cult programming and make them have a hard break with it. Because like you said, you were already having big questions before you read his book. You were already trying to figure out what was going on, but it really showed you the type of mental political affliction that has been basically engineered into this to the minion class.
Yeah, and I want to get to right at the heart of this. So, Vox, if you'll allow me to talk about your book.
And we'll do another segment if we have to, but I swore to go to calls. Keep going.
All right, so there are 8 main points in his book, and what I'm going to do is talk about them. So, number one, recognize the attack. Remain calm and realize that very few friends and coworkers will help you. Okay, you're kind of in this fight for yourself. Second of all is don't try to reason with them. You are not dealing with rational people, but with raving beasts who will take every gesture of goodwill as a sign of weakness and will use everything they say, you say, yes, against them, okay?
Yes.
Against you. One of the ways I defend against this is that whenever they want to talk to me in private, I always say, I'm going to record this conversation so that we have a clear record of what's being said. Guess what? It doesn't matter how powerful they are scared to death of the cameras and them
That's
being
exactly
recorded.
What I do when the fake reporters are here. But even in our meetings and stuff, you know, because I want stuff on record of what I said.
Yeah, exactly. So do not apologize is number 3, okay? Apologies are treated as evidence of guilt and invite intensified attacks, okay? This is something that's not intuitive. It's something that you have to realize.
Oh,
as
I wish
tactic.
I'd have read his book when I was like, they'd say, stop saying harass Sandhook families. And I said, I never did that. But if anybody is trying to do that in my name, don't do it. I apologize. That's when all hell broke.
That's when it was the beginning of that whole shit storm that happened to you. Okay. So number 4 is accept your fate. Try to adopt a stoic attitude of indifference about outcomes. Focus simply on doing the right thing, which is to fight. Okay.
I got to say, this sounds like my manual, just how to be a man. That's what I've done politically.
Yeah.
And that's how you're successful.
Exactly. This is the reason why it's a philosophy book. Okay. So, document their every word and action. So, you know, for what I did is I wanted to record them. That's terrifying to them. Do not resign and don't do the enemy's work for them, because if you resign, then they're going to parade that around as a surrender and that you admitted to being what they accused you of.
Yeah,
doing.
Don't quit. Make them fire you. Yeah. Fight, fight, fight.
All right. This number 7 is the most important. Okay. Make the rubble bounce. Basically, this means a counterattack. Do everything you can to raise the price of attacking you for your enemies and your employer. This is worth quoting at length.
That's what I did with Pepe the Frog. They spent $1.5 million and they got $15,000 that the judge ordered us to settle, basically. And it was a massive defeat for them.
Exactly. So you want to
spend $100,000.
You want to target the enemy at every opportunity. Hit them wherever they show themselves vulnerable. Play as dirty as your conscience will permit. Undermine them, sabotage them, and discredit them. Now, I wasn't malicious to Google before I left, other than doxing them. But
I'll say this. I'm going to ask Vox this. We'll do one more segment. I know he's got to go too, but he's offered to stay, but I got to go to the calls. Vox, I wouldn't use that term fight dirty. I mean, I know everybody knows what that means, kind of underhanded. If somebody started the fight and they're kicking your ass, it's not dirty to punch him in the testicles. People would call that dirty in a boxing match because that's a, you know, square fight. So, but I'm still kind of worried when we say dirty, because I found dirty stuff can bounce back on you. What do you mean by dirty?
I mean, whatever you use, whatever works. I'm a trained martial artist. We don't worry about what the Marcus of Queensbury rules are. If someone comes at you, any tactic that they use against you is legitimately adopted and used against
them. Oh, I totally agree. But nothing's dirty when you're fighting for your life and you didn't initiate. So I just think, what's a better word? Fair game, first blood?
I mean, I don't worry about those things. The point, the reason that I said fight dirty is because people are, I'm trying to teach people to stop thinking about it in terms of what they think is fair. It's not about what you think is fair. It's about the situation. It's about what you
Oh, I totally agree with that. And I wasn't trying to split hairs here.
And I want to add to that because this goes right into his point
number
8.
I could do a lot of dirty stuff and F some globalists over. I just don't do it because it's not chivalrous, and I found that gives me some form of protection. I'm not saying you're immoral saying fight dirty. I think you're redefining for conservatives that tend to be very squeamish that, hey, you're fighting for your life. You need to start kicking ass.
No, but conservatives are wrong. Conservatives are weak. There's a reason why they call me Dark Lord. It's because we do whatever we need to do.
Right. And a lot of people...
Well, then let's expand
on
that.
It's not necessarily wrong. It's just people like, oh, that wouldn't be a nice thing to do to them. But
I didn't know you had the nickname Dark Lord, but you're a good guy, and I like having you on. So explain to me about the Dark Lord philosophy. End justifies the means?
No, it's not that the end justifies the means. It's that you play by the rules of the game that you are provided.
That I totally agree with. And so I don't think it's called fighting dirty. That's all I'm saying.
They will call it fighting dirty. It doesn't matter what they say. I don't pay any attention to what the left says.
No, I get it now. So you're invoking terms like that on purpose to get people to stop being so squeamish.
Exactly.
And in number 8, what he says here is, don't act out of anger. Don't initiate attacks. But when attack, respond with disproportionate, overwhelming force.
That's what Trump does.
That's what Trump does. And that's what I did. I react to whatever Google is going to do. And as a result, they think twice about what they're going to do to me. And so that is one of the most important points in this whole tactical operation, is to respond with disproportionate, overwhelming force at every opportunity.
Well, that's always what you got to do.
That's what you always got to do. Mm-hmm.
If they escalate, they have to understand that you're going to escalate with them. People often say, how come you don't lead with your best shot? How come you don't show your hand? And the reason is because if you lead with your best shot, then you've got nowhere to go. You've got no potential for escalation. And so the best way to prevent things from going, nuclear on both sides is to just continue to maintain something in reserve. And
you never go nuclear up front.
More force.
I mean, you don't want to go nuclear up front because that would cause a nuclear war using an actual military theater type situation. You'd want to use a lot of other things first.
Exactly.
But we're the only country ever to drop nuclear weapons, atomic weapons on people, and Japan found out. It's like, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. And I'm so sad for those Japanese folks following their emperor, but they found out what happened. And now they respect us. We'll be right back with Vox Day. Zach Voorhees, I'm Alex Jones. Your calls as well. Please stay with us. Opposite of a sociopath. I literally feel your pain. That doesn't mean I'm some bleeding heart that wants to make you into some jellyfish that I control, some armless, legless person that lives in a box that I control. I want to see you become incredibly powerful. I want to see you unleash your human potential so that our progeny in the future will look back on us and celebrate us as victors. Species fails, we lose. Species goes next level, we all win. And I'm a winner. And I know you're a winner. Vox Day's our guest. Calls are coming up. We're going to host some of the next hour. Please hold callers. I respect you. I appreciate we're making some key points. Please don't forget, without viewers and listeners, we're not here. And we've got the best fish oil. We've got the best nootropics. We've got the best protein bars. We've got the best krill oil. We've got the best of whatever it is, 95% curcuminoid. The average is 3 to 5%. This is concentrated, patented turmeric. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, 50 to 60% off everything at InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWarsStore.com has everything you need. Wake Up America Coffee, the great fluoride-free toothpaste, 4 to 5 colloidal silver iodine, and so many other great products you want to sign up for auto ship on so that you get a 10% additional discount on the next order. I guess it's a 10% discount on that order. Cancel anytime, but it's human action. It's a war. The globalists think if they can shut InfoWars down, they can shut anything down. And the fact that we're still here, you can watch Senate hearings where Senator Blumenthal and others are shaking with hate and fear, saying, we want him shut up. He's not been shut down. He's more influential than ever. And I'm not trying to brag here. I'm just saying they fear you, listeners. They fear us. They know the truth. And they know they've sold their soul. They know that they have are not following that path of empathy that Christ talked about. But real empathy means being strong and fighting tyrants. So we need your financial support, but whatever you do, spread the word. That's free, Infowars.com/show. So Alex Jones is still on. He's still there. And it's happening. It's actually gone from crushing us down, making us stronger, to now some magic things are happening. I've been advised by people that I don't really get a lot of advice, but they go, Jones, don't tell people you're getting stronger. Don't. It's not even financial. Because that's the problem area. But influence-wise and what we're saying, who's listening? I mean, do you think that doesn't make powerful world leaders and major thought leaders, when they hear don't listen to Alex Jones, tune in? The fact that we're still here, we're not supposed to be here, folks. They're supposed to shut us down, then lie about us so that we're not on air, so they can then build a straw man. But we're still here thanks to you.
Because truth contradicts their manufactured narrative.
That's right. So liberals always lie. Vox Day and you guys are on fire. Let's finish up this segment, points you want to make.
I think that's pretty much it for what I wanted to talk to, you know, on the show about in terms of, you know, SJWs always lie in the tactical ops on how to carry out an operation like this. Vox, what do you think?
Well, I think that we should talk about what's likely to happen next with regards to Google and the Panopticon and the fact that more and more people are understanding how this is playing out. They're understanding that this is not about transhumanism. This is not about human progress. This is all about control. And this is all about a return to the, you know, the pagan Tower of Babel nonsense.
Feudalism.
Pre-Western civilization. It's not about feudalism.
Well, the UN says in their documents, we want to return to a global feudal system. We want to return human sacrifice. We want a pagan system. I was just quoting him, but expand.
Yeah, the feudalism is actually part of Western civilization. They actually want to go back to a pre-Western civilization. They want to go back to, God kings and slaves. And that's why you see that this total
madness. Well, sure, that's the Illuminati model is absolute godhead for them. Everybody else dumbed down slaves.
A good word is called cult state. You want to create a cult state. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a cult state, Vox, when the Republicans can't put an ad on Facebook that says we're looking for strong women.
Well, they're trying to build it, and they're trying to get there. The last model of a cult state is Egypt, I think, is the best. And that lasted for 5,000 years.
Right. But they're not going to succeed because the whole thing is built on an edifice of debt, and the debt is collapsing. And so, you know, there's a... Piero San Giorgio, who's a really great survivalist author, has a book coming out soon called Urban Apocalypse. And he's talking about how the system that is dependent upon electricity and is dependent upon debt is so fundamentally fragile that there's no chance, not a small, you know, not a remote
probability.
It will
break down.
There's no chance it will survive. And so their fundamental concepts are based on lies. That's why they're creatures of the lie. That's why they're all, I mean, if you look at the heads of Alphabet, you look at Eric Schmidt, you look at Sergey Brin, what are they doing? They're not working on human progress. They're running around trying to figure out how to extend their lives so that they don't die and go to hell. You know, they're running
around.
Well, that's
it. And they're building emergency bunkers.
They're running around Jeffrey Epstein.
They're building emergency bunkers.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they're building emergency bunkers in New Zealand, which the Chinese are going to take over. You know, it says in the Bible that the ways of the wise are going to be confounded. And we're seeing that play out right in front of us. The wealthiest, supposedly smartest people. And actually, I got a question for Zach. Mm-hmm. You know, when you watch a television show, a lot of times the first couple seasons are really good. And then the television show just starts to suck after that. And often it's because the original writers have been replaced by a B team and by a C team. And
sure, they're cashing in on the franchise that's already popular.
Right. Would you say that that's happened at companies like Google now? Like the really smart people that made it successful in the beginning, you know, if you look at, you know, Sergey Brin and Schmidt are they're busy running around with celebrities and sex traffickers like Epstein now. Who's actually running the store? I mean, when I look at the statements made by the Google executives, I don't get the impression of first class minds communicating.
That's right. They bumble pretty bad in Congress. They act disheveled. They're not even good speakers. They seem like a rear guard action.
Yeah. So, you know, all of the old timers have pretty much left the company and they've been replaced. And right now there is, I've noticed with YouTube, a lot of Chinese infiltration into the company.
Oh yeah.
And it's they're coming in really fast now. And the thing is that there seems to be different criteria that are being used to select, and it's going away from competence and more towards loyalty and ideological
subservience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you think that the diversity and inclusivity push has actually damaged their competence, which actually is in keeping with what I would have guessed.
Yeah, there's a really great document that was disclosed in the Project Veritas Google dumps, and that is the document called Coffee Beans. And it's super weird, and I recommend everyone look at it because, in fact, Google says this should not leak out because it could be very damaging. But it reduces people to the concept of coffee beans, and they say some coffee beans are not as good as others, but we want to have a blend because with the blend, it tastes better.
Right. That doesn't surprise me. If I recall correctly, Wired came out with an article about that not long after you and Project Veritas broke the news as well.
Yeah, they broke it literally hours before we went live. So the Wired article came out at 6, and then the Project Veritas dump came out, I think, around 9 a.m.
Well, I wanted to ask you about this, but Google, because, I mean, I would live on Google. It used to have some rigging and some censorship, but it's totally broken. Nothing works. It's all just hand-selected by them. There's backdoor payments we know going on. It's totally broken. They've just ruined it.
Yeah, yeah. There's like product rot, and it's endemic through all the company. And I remember when there used to be an outage at the company, there'd be this really long like postmortem about what went wrong and how we prevent this again. Now they're having weekly nationwide outages, and in the company they don't even talk about it. It's not even like, oh, this is what happened. They just say, oh, the whole thing stopped working for
because they don't have a purpose-driven life. They're just arrogant, they're disconnected, they're censoring, they don't care. Box Day, great job, we appreciate you. I promise, callers, we're going to every single person holding. When we come back, stay with us. We're going right to Ryan and Ronnie on the other side. Next hour, then Matt Bracken, great author, researcher, is taking over. Zach Voorhees is our guest. I'm Alex Jones, your host. And I'm going to go to your phone calls in T-minus 60 seconds. But we all have to fund ourselves. And you're leaving Google because you're going to tell the truth, turning down, you know, as a senior engineer, a lot of money. But you've got products you're promoting and things you're doing. That's what it is. It's all about decentralization. So hang out your shingle. Tell people about your product.
So I actually made a product in 2013. It was an invention that I had, which is a bicycle glove with a turn signal on the back of my hand. So this has saved a lot of lives and has been making cyclists safer around the world. And so, Alex, I would like to be able to rep this stuff if I come on your show as a host in some capacity. If people want to check it out right now, they can go to zackes.com. That's ZACKEES.com. We'll ship you a pair of gloves. And they're amazing gloves. They got leather palms. They've got really bright lights. And they've got a very long...
That makes sense.
Battery.
Then you're just doing it as a light.
Yeah, just do this like
and
a light.
And people kind of tune out of a little out of the back of a bike. But if it goes out, they see it.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a way we can get like the website up on the page?
Yeah, because I know you didn't know I was going to do that. Sorry. Oh, they got it
yeah,
up
there
quick.
There we go, yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, there we go.
That's exciting. I always spring stuff on them.
Yeah, so that's the first Black Olympic champion in the Olympics for cycling, Nelson Vales. And he wears my products all the time. It keeps him safe when he rides at night. And as you can see, he just puts out his hand like that, and it signals. And it's really amazing because the drivers really respond
to
it.
That's smart. How did you come up with that? Just a big brain over there.
I just was making a lot of wearable tech, and this kind of popped out as something that was uniquely, like, satisfying to the cyclists. So I originally left Google in 2013 to create this product, and then I went back to Google in 2016 because the money's just really good at Google. But this product is available on sale. It's everyone loves it. And
again, they use money and not having a job to control people. That's why all of us making our own things, decentralizing, is pure Americana, pure human. All right, without further ado, and by the way, since they held over an hour, Ryan and Ronnie both get a free T-shirt. Okay, so we'll get their name and email and give it to customer service so they can pick the one they want. I apologize, but I'm getting better. I've been taking a lot more calls lately, but still, it backs up. So thank you for holding. Ryan in Florida, you're on the air. You want to talk about divide and conquer. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, I just wanted to say thank you for waking me up. I was 9 years old when I first watched your Bohemian Grove 9/11 videos, and I'm 25 now. So thanks for all the years of info. And I wanted to say to Zach, he makes a great member of the Infowars team, and I'd love to see him have his own little, like, once-a-week tech corner to give his authoritative expert.
We were talking about that over a late lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great because you're fantastic, man. It's great hearing you talk. But I wanted to speak on the divide and conquer tactics that the left and the authoritarians have used against you, Alex, for years. And there's a couple of YouTubers that are going through the same sort of thing. There's a Body Language Ghost, American Renaissance, Colin Flaherty, and Billy Roper. Now, these are all channels that you might like, but the tactic they use against you, obviously, is the straw man tactic, and that assassinate your character. And now, you know, new viewers don't want to associate with you because they think you're this boogeyman. And more importantly,
you know, I don't really, the audio's a little bit overdriven in my ears, so I miss the names of the sites. Listen, being attacked is just as good as being loved. It means you're getting people's attention. You're only allowed to basically have me on if you attack me. Okay, because
right.
They'll ban smaller channels. A Joe Rogan or a Steven Crowder can have me on. But still, Steven Crowder didn't even put my full interview out. Somebody else did, and it was like a million views. Okay, so he put it out subscription. Well, that's because, you know, I mean, they basically threatened him. And I know Joe had his biggest podcast ever with me. So they're the top guys on YouTube. They can't even really have me on. And so these lower-level guys understand the name's going to make them money and get attention. And so they're just children. I mean, I don't know who those sites are, but I welcome that. To be attacked by folks that, you know, believe that it's a stepping stone is a good thing. As long as they're covering the New World Order and other stuff, I'm here. I'm here to be stabbed. I'm here to be attacked. I love it. I don't enjoy it, but I'm not really paying attention. So it's a maturity thing that I didn't sign up for this to be loved by the world. I signed up for this to change the world and to have a better future. And you can see the victories we're having. So, yeah, it's a big thing everywhere to attack me. And then you supposedly get your brownie points.
I mean, when you were on YouTube, you were like, that's one of the top channels. Like, you just popped up on my stream all the time, which is the reason why that they have to ban you from the platform is because they don't want the truth getting out.
And explain how that works, because there are these headlines. Google wrote algorithm to help Alex Jones. No, it just means if you click on shark fishing videos, they know you want more shark fishing. Or if you click on cycling videos, you get more. So we were popular and it would go to the top.
Right. Like, people were engaging with your content and the algorithms were watching that. And so they were using that to push you to the top because, like, this is what people like to listen to. And so you were contradicting the narratives. And so they realized that in order to maintain power, they had to eliminate you from the platforms and prevent you from talking to
people. And now what they've said, Facebook officially and others say, only talk about him in a negative light. So everyone goes, Alex Jones is a piece of filth, and then they talk about me, but then they still get the views because everybody's looking for Alex Jones.
Yeah.
It's very parasitic. But that's what children do. They have to grow.
Yeah. And I've been told, like, hey, don't go on the Alex Jones show. And I said, look, I'm fighting against censorship, and the last thing I'm going to do is censor myself and not come on like a show. And
well, let me ask you this. I said, what do you want to cover first? How great your crew is, how truly woke they are. We never got to that, and I appreciate your call. God bless you, Ryan. But, I mean, you've been here. You've seen this operation. I mean, we're totally real.
Yeah. And the thing
I tell you what you could talk about? Was there 2 hours of pre-meetings like CNN? Was there any? I mean, this is real.
Yeah, everyone here is woke, and they're fun to be with, and There's no like, oh, you can't say this and you can't say that, and there's none of that, right? It's free speech.
Because we already look at people that are cool and that we think have interesting ideas, and then it's just a discussion. It's not a bunch of, well, let's talk about how we're going to say it. And
yeah, and the thing is that you don't have to agree with everything that Alex Jones says. You only, like, I agree with Alex Jones's right to say what he has on his mind to the people, and for the right of the people to listen to that. And, you know, apparently that's like now an extreme right-wing view. I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's like, when did classical liberalism become a extreme right-wing view?
Well, sure, and I'm not virtue signaling at homosexuals when I say I don't believe you should be killed and I believe you have rights. And by the way, I don't hate you. I don't like your leftist ideology that's attached to you. But, you know, the four are supporting the Palestinians murdering gays. And like, where are you running around with all your gay virtue signaling? You're not. You're just bullying Americans because you're on the Chi-Com payroll and don't even know it. I mean, that's what's sick is the cult-like leftist. Well, if you're a lesbian or you're gay, you've got to be against Trump. And it's all a load of crap. It's not even real.
Right. And it's really funny when the leftists say, oh, Islam is feminism, you know, and it's like,
yeah, they say upside down.
it's part of this ideological subversion where
yeah, Ilhan has said that. She's like, Islam is feminism.
Yeah. And
like, women being sold on slave blocks, women can't drive cars. And you're telling me I don't want to empower women. My God, I've got three daughters. They're running the damn show. And I hope they want to be executives. I hope they want to do stuff like that.
And when you,
the truth is, they want to hang out with their girlfriends and, you know, do what women do. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah, and when you point this out to a leftist, it like triggers cognitive.
I mean, if my daughters wanted to take over, they would. The thing is, they don't want to, because that's how stuff's designed.
Right. I mean, men and women have different, like, built-in instincts. And, you know, now you say that, and it's like you can get banned off of these platforms for saying that there's differences between men and women. Like, look at what happened with James Damore with Inside Google. He said, hey, maybe, you know, guys just like doing computer science more than women, right? And so they slandered him. The media slandered him. The media came out and rewrote his manifesto. It wasn't even a manifesto. It was a diversity.
But a male brain has one-third the connections between left and right hemisphere. It's designed for computers. It's like a woman has a uterus. Not saying her brain isn't just as good. It has three times the connections between left and right hemisphere.
Yeah. And
it's a totally different brain. I mean, the brain is different.
And men like to go to war a little bit more. And women shy away from violence. It's like, you know.
Yeah, because here's the thing. All the embryos are girls at first. Everybody knows women have a second set of DNA that men don't have. Women literally create their sons like they're robots. We're the drones. The species is women. That's actually known by the establishment. Well, they're targeting women, telling them, oh, we're empowering you because they get the women. They've got everybody. It's not pandering to women to tell you you're the species. Men are a clone you basically create that go out on a mission.
Right. And
that's why we do the dangerous stuff. It's why we do it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there are certain things that men just
we're ready to die for the nest.
Yeah, we do.
We're ready to die for the nest.
I mean, this is why I'm coming out. Like, I'm coming out. I'm, like, fighting a dragon. And the thing is that it's something that males tend to do more. And that's something it's very sacred to sacrifice yourself for the good of the tribe. So, you know, I'm not saying that men and women are, you know, only going to be in these roles. I'm saying there's a distribution.
It's like saying most of the winners of long-range running are Kenyans. There's others that are just as good as well.
Yeah.
Waging war. Woo! On corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Globalists can't stand it. Oh! I don't want to be at the beach drinking a pina colada. I don't want to be on some jumbo jet with 20 hookers like a rule executive. I want to be here with a whistleblower. I want to be here fighting the globalists. That's what's exciting. Or marching up a 5,000-foot mountain before dawn and reaching the top at noon. And then busting open a cold beer up top and carrying your backpack. That's life, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking phone calls right now with Zach Voorhees, the big Google whistleblower. This is amazing. We're going to your calls now. Ronnie in California, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. What do you want to get into? The toxic culture.
Yeah, Alex, man, it's great to hear your voice. I've been a listener for the past 11 years, and I'm going to get into that. And I just wanted to tell you that, you know, just whatever you do, you've never stood alone in this fight ever. I'm not saying that as a fanatic or anything.
Oh, no. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, brother. Are you kidding? You literally the oxygen in my lungs, man. You're me. And that's not just some statement from, like, you know, Barney. I love you. You love me. We're a happy family. I mean, you have to understand, when people call up kissing my ass, are you joking? I mean, literally, I love you.
Hey, that's all I'm trying to say, too. I love you, too, brother.
You ever seen these Hollywood people, and you've been holding an hour, but I'm going to go back to, like, their fans run up, and they go, get away, kid, screw you. You asked to be famous. You asked to do this. I love signing autographs. I love taking photos. I was, oh, I'm sorry. You're sorry that you like me and I like you? I mean, this, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a thing, like, don't ever meet your Hollywood heroes. It's a saying.
Oh, they're a bunch of empty dirtbags. Most of them, unless they're a conservative. It's crazy. Like, all the conservative ones I've met, most of them are like, don't say I called you. Don't say I love your show. You know, and they're like wanting my autograph. But you know, it's okay. It's just crazy. I'm sorry, sir. You've been holding a long time. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hey, I remember when your crew came out in Burlingame, California. You know, I love seeing that, just knowing that there's people that are just like me, just like you. And but to touch on a toxic culture and the Tavistock incident, you mentioned celebrities and not meeting your idols. You know, so many of these, like, celebrities that are all for this false liberal propaganda and dream, they're the ones contributing to the toxic culture, yet they point to you, yet they point to people like me, regular people, all day, and try to divert the conversation and do these weird silency techniques. And I'm just tired of it. You know, I think everybody has value, no matter what anybody says. You know, and I'm just,
no, I agree. You know, in my life, I've met, like, old black men, old white women, old whoever, that are, like, super knowledgeable and dialed in, and they're totally psychic. They know what you're thinking. You feel like when you're in their presence, you, like, kind of, like, blend in with them. And they're always old, though. They've been through a bunch. A lot of veterans, people like that. But they're just already at the next level. And you run into them, they have way more stardom and human fire than any of the big Hollywood stars I've ever known. And they're just regular people. And they're just working in America. They're just taking care of folks. They're at the PTA. They're at church. They're taking care of their neighbors when they're sick. They're just real people.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they love God and they love their country and they love the simple things in life that keep them going, you know?
They're already fulfilled. You know, they're already fulfilled.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that's the funny thing, too, about the Tavistock Institute and, you know, all the, I think as Zach was talking about this earlier, the Tavistock Institute, you know, that's
a plan to get little boys by the millions to ask mommy to cut their genitals off. I mean, that's the ultimate sickness, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's all part of ideological subversion. And the Tavistock Institution has been pushing this for decades now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a pedophile-run group. I mean, that's admitted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could Google a picture of the Beatles. There's a picture of them with Jimmy Savile, you know, just sitting there smiling like it's all funny.
And again, because I know the family, and I'm going to leave it at that. And let me tell you, I'm not going to get into it because it was off record. But, I mean, I already knew about a lot of it, but let me just tell you, John Lennon's son and Yoko Ono, they know the whole deal. They're not part of it. They have apologized. They have said whatever. And John Lennon was woke at the end, man.
Yeah.
He was definitely British intelligence. He definitely didn't want to depopulate the earth. When he found out, he would not be part of the Satanism. He wrote songs right before he died about it.
He did. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Nobody has these songs. A listener sent me once, and I asked Yoko Ono about it. I asked her son about it. And they're like, yeah, no, my dad wrote a bunch of songs before he got killed about Satanism and everything. Folks, we're live broadcasting worldwide on this Thursday, August 22nd, global transmission. Now, we got to move quick to get everybody. Zach Voorhees is here. Zach, you got to come back because you're good on talk radio. You're a smart guy. I can tell you've done your research. You released the big data dump. This morning, I heard Zach's at his hotel doing a Fox News interview. And I said, I bet that doesn't air. Well, I guess they canceled it.
Sarah Carter.
We need to punch you out. We need to get these videos once they're posted at InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. The listeners kind of, and I do this too, like it's kind of a thing of, oh, it's osmosis. People know what's going on. No, the only way you learn about something they're fighting to keep you from hearing is if you spread it.
Yeah, that's right. And that's,
I know I harp on that because I'm the tail, the listeners are the dog. And I mean, you are the dog.
Right. And the thing is that don't ever underestimate the power that a small, determined group of people have to change the world.
That's absolutely, that's how it's always been.
Yeah. They're the ones that always change, you know, the world in every revolution.
Did you know Hitler, 3 days before he committed suicide in a bunker, still believed he was going to beat the Russians and the Allies when like 10 million troops were marching in on him? Okay. And that's, I think, Google and all them, they don't get, like you said, they don't even care if they have outages now. They don't care if it doesn't work anymore. They've just got all this unlimited fake stock. What, a $1 trillion company almost.
Uh-huh.
They just don't care.
Yeah, they just don't care. They have infinite amount of power. It's like I don't even think about how much power they have, because if I did, I would be like, what the heck are you doing, Zach? But the thing is that I know that I'm in the right, and I know that everyone else knows that Google's in the wrong, and that's what gives me the fuel to continue to push this out. And oh my gosh, it's just snowballing. It's just snowballing. It's getting larger. And this is moving towards a real cultural movement. And that cultural movement will transform into a political movement. So,
And it's here. They're scared. They're trying to block it. I mean, Trump is a gigantic liberal. And if you really look at his policies and everything he actually does, it's very classical liberal. Not in the modern sense, but the classical Thomas Jeffersonian.
Yeah, and the thing is that he's really doing a really great job.
Well, he doesn't
America.
Look down on black people or anybody. In fact, he's got a lot of black girlfriends. He would see himself as being weak if he looked down on someone. He wants to empower people.
Yeah.
And I know that about. That's why they hate him. Yeah. He's the opposite of a Satanist.
And that's the reason why that, you know, Google and these big tech giants are trying to scrub the internet and make it so that people can't find, you know, the pictures of Donald Trump with these black leaders throughout his career, because that contradicts the manufactured narrative that is projected onto
people. Well, he trailblazed bringing blacks into resorts and golf courses and these luxury buildings where there were like 90-year-old weird white people who didn't want to be next to white people that weren't rich and powerful. Let me tell you, get around rich people, they hate everybody unless you're in the weird club. So they hate white people, Hispanics, blacks. Like, folks think like, oh, old rich white people don't like me. Old Chinese people don't like people that aren't rich like them, or old rich black people. It's an elitism.
Right.
But Trump isn't about the elitism. He's about everybody gets it.
And it's really funny because, like, people say, oh, America's racist. And I've done my traveling. America's actually the least racist country that I've ever been to in my life.
I mean, nothing against China, but they're racist.
Right. Japan's, they're they have a bias towards their own, like, people, right? And
well, take South Korea or Korea. If you're born out of wedlock, you're seen as a ghost child and subhuman. That's why they have to adopt all the kids. And my sister isn't listening. She's a wonderful person. We adopted her because, you know, she was from a single mom. That's sick, man. And nothing against Asians. They're great people. But you're saying America's racist?
Japan
doesn't let Muslims into the country, period.
What are they judging that against? Like, America's racist. Like, in comparison to what? If we're the least racist
Somalia selling people as slaves today?
Libya, you know, it's like, go anywhere in the country.
Exactly.
Racism's
so I'm
endemic.
Sick of the lies. Like, we are exceptional for the good things we've done. Yeah, we got powerful. We got corrupt. We've been bad, too. But I'm just sick of the religion of hating America teaching us to hate ourselves. It goes back to the demoralization.
That's right. And it's a tactic. It's being applied to the minds of American people in order to change the perception of what reality is.
Demons do, whether it's a corrupt girlfriend or husband or whatever. They tell you you suck. They tell you you did something bad. And all they want you to do is say you're bad and they're above you.
Yep.
And no, I'm intentionally not hurting anyone. I want to be good. I want to be with God. I'm a sinner, but I want to be good. And I'm sick of hearing how I'm bad. And I'm not going to hear it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you're taking a stand. Do you want to take some callers? Let's do it.
He's going to make me take calls. Let's go ahead and talk to Google in the classroom, Chase in California. Go ahead, Chase.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Alex. And Zach, thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you.
I've been an educator for 15 years here in crazy California. And I want you to know that the last few years, they've been putting into our school district the Google Classroom system. They give every student a laptop. They have to sign into Google. And everything that these students are typing, writing, looking up, watching is all being collected by the Google database. And so, Zach, I appreciate if you would talk about this. What are they
doing? Notice Facebook said, we will ban you in the future with your social ID for what you wrote in the past. So think about that. Big corporation is directly knowing more about your kid than you do.
Right. And now they're introducing this new policy where, and it's not just Google, it's multiple tech giants are introducing this policy where they're going to, they can ban you from platforms based on your off-platform behavior. Okay. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to implement a social credit system, but lie about it. And they're just going to, it's called the totalitarian tiptoe, where they just make these incremental changes closer and closer and closer until all of a sudden we wake up and we're in a communist
country.
But
you're right. Like here in Austin, the schools get Apple iPads or whatever. And that's all going back to the Chi-Com. Same thing with Google is going back to their... I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. And so the thing is that, you know, Google was painted as this really great company. And so they wanted to, like, help educate the world with really cheap laptops. And so, you know... They snuck it in. Everyone got in there. And now we're all realizing that Google's this really easy, evil, malicious corporation.
And they're now more apparent than you are.
Yeah. And now we've got to, like, you know, de-infiltrate our country from this evil corporation.
Because that wouldn't be against the school having computers for kids, but it's Google.
Yeah.
It's app. It's them. It's their curriculum.
Yeah, it's their curriculum, you know. And the thing is that you think that they're just going to open up the access for other
They're tracking what you, just like in WhatsApp with Facebook, they're already blocking you sending out memeworld.com. It's here. They're launching it on every cylinder. Thank you, Chase. Let's jam in one more here. Aaron in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex. It's an honor to be on the show. Thank you.
Honor, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Zach, thank you for coming out with the courage to come out, and I know it takes a lot, man, so appreciate that. I had a question for Zach, a couple questions, actually.
Go ahead.
I've been detoxing from Google, so I've been using DuckDuckGo, and I've been using the Brave browser, and I was wondering, Zach, what you thought of those, and also what you think about cryptocurrencies, and possibly, is there a way to design, like, a decentralized search engine, or video platform?
A lot of great questions. Wow, a lot of great questions.
Wow,
Aaron.
If I can remember all those questions. So first off, you know, StartPage and DuckDuckGo are great alternatives to Google search. So if you're looking to detox from the Google search, then, you know, I challenge the audience that's listening in here to do at least just one search, not on Google, but with DuckDuckGo or StartPage.
And us using that empowers those platforms.
Right, exactly. And what we're telling Google is that if they're going to censor us, then we're going to censor them. Your second question, which was, what do I think about the Brave browser? Well, so a lot of people used to like the Firefox browser, but then they started to get subverted and they kicked the founder off. Well, the founder went to the Brave browser. He took the Chrome browser and he created his own version of it, which he called Brave. And when you go into private mode, it actually uses the Tor browser, which is untrackable. So I really recommend everyone use the Brave browser.
Brave browser, Brave browser, Brave browser, Brave browser. More calls.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Big old fires down in Brazil. No big fire this year yet in the United States. We're bringing that up during the break.
Yeah, so I'm from Oregon originally, and last year was a really bad year for fires, and same with California. In fact, my mom almost died in a fire. Also, there was a huge fire that broke out at my brother's wedding last year during the summer in the Columbia Gorge. We had to do a GoFundMe to help him out. And this year there's been no fires. But what's been really interesting is that Brazil has had a lot of fires. And the president of Brazil came out and said that these fires are being started by NGOs. Now, this was something that I suspected that was happening in the United States.
Well, we know the Soros groups have been caught before.
Yeah.
In Russia and other areas, Ukraine's starting fires.
Yeah, they're starting fires. And then the media was like saying, oh, this is global warming. This is global warming. And then Trump came out and said, what about the mismanagement of the forests? And they all
came out.
The left
right there starts the fires by not letting you cut underbrush.
Right.
And then it all just builds up. Let's take some calls here. Great points. You got to do a talk show, man. You're a smart guy. Jack Voorhees. Jack, your name is Jack. Zach Voorhees here with us. Andy, you're on the air from California. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I think I have found a sort of a chink in the armor of Google. I'm not sure. Are you familiar with the Google Assistant app?
Yes.
Okay, so last phone that I had, I kept getting these little announcements and reminders, even though I never signed up for that app, nor did I sign up to be reminded about my financial statements. This app was telling me, hey, check this out on your next credit card statement. You're going to owe this much money, so be aware. It was trying to be helpful, but I never...
You're saying it was hacking you?
Yes, it was spying on my web browsing and reading. You know, it wasn't being accurate, but it was still trying to tell me what was coming up. And it was spying on me, and I never consented to this, neither through my credit cards or through the app.
Andy, I think you've hit something here central. Instead of even going after him for censorship, which they're doing, how about all the illegal spying that makes the NSA blush? How about they admit that 10 years ago they're listening to you over the microphones and giving you ads, Zach?
Yeah, you know, and this is something that people have been able to discover by saying a new word, like, hey, we need to buy product X, we need to buy product X, we need to buy product X. And the screen was shut off, and then all of a sudden, product X started, like, appearing in their social media.
Here's an example. Kit Daniels walked in here last week, and he said, Fantasy Island is what Jeffrey Epstein modeled his life after. And no one had said that until he said he wrote an article. And I went, that's weird. And then all of a sudden, in my YouTube feeds, Google feeds, everywhere was Fantasy Island, Ricardo Montalban. So it literally heard me saying Fantasy Island and fed me fantasy, which they admit they're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, that is creepy, man.
You know, and the thing is that they tell you it's a conspiracy theory, but then you go and you look in this 70-page, you know, end-user license agreement that they're sending. And
they say they're listening to you.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we're listening to you, but it's we're going to be sending it to third parties. And if you can untangle the legalese language.
And then this is the New York Times. Oh, and we humans are listening too.
Yeah, there's humans that are listening to. And this is.
Wow. I mean, I told you this 20 years ago, folks, but now it's admitted.
Yeah, and Project Veritas leaked this year where people were. These contractors were having access to people's conversations. And they're like, hey, this is really messed up. And so this is happening. The contractors have come out and said that they're listening in on conversations. When police, you know, try to solve a crime, they'll basically subpoena Amazon so that they can
get the point is it's going on. Andy, thank you. Great point. You're mm-hmm. amazing. Chuck in Louisiana on the same subject. Go ahead, Chuck.
How's it going, Alex?
Good, brother. Go ahead.
I just want to apologize. The first time I ever talked to you or the only other time I've talked to you, I lied and said my name was John and I was from Michigan and I used an unlisted Mississippi phone. And I was a FEMA inspector that broke down on your show that day. 7 years ago.
Wow. I vaguely remember that.
I used an unlisted number, and they threatened to kill my son if I didn't shut the F up about Philadelphia. And that's when I knew your show was real.
Wow. Well, I mean, so just anyway, recap what happened to you.
I just helped funnel $20 billion to people that didn't need it. In Philadelphia from two storms that got named and we were doing it illegally and tried bringing it to light and they threatened to kill my son over it. They threatened to arrest me before that for violating people's civil rights. But
wow.
But it took me a couple of years and I started buying the products, bodies, the krill and fish oil have helped my heart and my joints. I was having heart palpitations. And started taking that. I wear my T-shirts every day. I buy the We the People Ideas or Bulletproof sticker, and I stick them on gas pumps at eye level so that they actually look like a certification stamp. And I go by, and I see them months later. So those stick on. And then I'm trying to be faster because I know y'all are running out of time. The you had a caller calling about Tiger Woods drinking Turbo Force during the U.S. Open that he won, and then his business partner and friend, the oldest man to ever play in Wimbledon in the longest match ever, Roger Federer, had a Evian bottle with the label ripped off, and there in that bottle, pink, just like Turbo Force. I take it as well. Gives me energy in the morning and the afternoon. So, but anyway,
well, we don't know of any other energy drink that has pink, but it might be somebody else, but we'll see.
Yeah,
it is the best out there.
Federer was drinking it. He had an Evian bottle with water, and he also had one that was pink, and it looked just like Turbo Force. So, now, to my point about Google, and this was yesterday, this one thing happened, and another one was last week. So I travel on the road a lot, and I go get home and have to cut the grass. I turned the TV on and left it on. I come back in, and it had gone in sleep mode, but the television was still on. And I started talking to my son, and Google Assistant pops up through Dish Network and says, speak more clearly so that Google Assistant can hear you. And I about lost my mind. But then yesterday, I'm sitting in a hotel room, and I got my phone on charging, and I'm listening to the show through my laptop while I'm writing a report. And y'all are talking about Google Assistant. No, y'all were talking about the Trump and Hillary Clinton body count graphs. And Google Assistant, and I've never, ever used it before. I don't have it turned on. I've never even gone into that app. I don't know if it's on my phone or not. It's got to be. But
what happened?
It turned on saying these are the best results I could find.
Well, no, they admit I never use Siri, and it'll be sitting there, and I'll say something that's a keyword, and it'll just start talking.
Yeah.
And they admit it's robots you brought in, and they think we're all idiots, and they've gone so far. Thank you, Chuck. Amazing points. We're going to introduce Matt Bracken coming up on the other side with Zach Voorhees here, but I want you to be able to comment on what he just said.
Yeah.
It's all admitted. I know 20 years ago I said, hey, it's in the telecommunications documents that the computers will listen to you and keywords and all this. It was there. And now it's all admitted, and it's being run by evil people.
And remember that police subpoena Amazon for conversations when a crime occurs. So the only way they're able to do that is because Amazon's recording your conversations.
It's all recorded.
So Google, Amazon Assistant.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man.
All right, Matt Bracken of EnemiesFarmDomestic.com taking over on Alex Jones, finishing up with Zach Voorhees, major, huge Google whistleblower, the Ed Snowden of all this. We're talking about this being the mark of the beast, and I'm sorry the last three callers we can't get to. I appreciate you holding. Call me back tomorrow. I promise you go to the head of the line if you tell them. But whether you believe in God, the Bible, or not, this is a world government corporate system that if you don't behave the way they want, they're not going to let you live. I mean, that is such a dangerous tyranny, and it's all happening now. It's not coming. It's all manifesting. It's all moving at breakneck speed.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, this has been a plan that's thousands of years in the making, and they keep on trying to implement it, and then it collapses hilariously, and then they regroup and try again. So this is just the latest iteration in a very long fight, and our forefathers that created this country knew this, and that's the reason why they created the Constitution, is because that Constitution is a how-to manual on how to prevent the collapse of America by, you know, keeping the fundamental rights that we can use to combat this world government and this subversion of our
country. Why are they so OCD throughout history? They do the same plan, like it's a transmission over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why they do it is because it works, and they believe that there's going to be a world government one day that. And they think that the only question is which royal bloodline will run it. And so they're all in competition, but they're still
building the system because they believe they're going to sit in the throne.
Right. They're all building the system together. They're trying to create globalism. They thought that they had it at this time with a world government, but it failed because they violated natural law too much. And now the rubber band is snapping back.
That's why they're always trying to suspend natural law and make an artificiality, because what they're trying to set up is alien. All right. Thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you visiting us here in Austin. Folks can find you on Twitter. at Perpetual Maniac and on your website as well. Matt Bracken, I appreciate you taking over, my friend. And then the War Room is in about 30 minutes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Thank you. Take it away, Matt.
Well, that's a pretty hard act to follow. I mean, Vox and Zach on the same show. That is some horsepower that I seriously...
Now Matt Bracken, so take it away. You're just as good, buddy.
Thank you. And I'm a cyclist, serious hardcore, and I think that the light gloves idea is great, and I'm looking that up after I'm off this show. Yeah, the technology with the LEDs and tiny batteries, it's a natural. I mean, it's gotta be a winner for sure. So I'm checking that out and going to get myself a pair of them for safe night riding. You know, as we've observed since the collapse of the Russian collusion narrative, the left has done a huge pivot straight into Trump is a racist. And all Trump supporters, especially, you know, whites, white Christian men are the worst. They're all racists, too. And just like NPC bots, which kind of remind me of like electronic diodes, you know, you switch the current and they all change their polarity, like boom, all at the same time, like magnetic filings. Or the communists after Hitler invaded Germany in 1941, the communists around the world in America, et cetera, all went from Hitler is a great guy, another kind of socialist, to Hitler is the arch fascist demon. And all around the world, the globalists, like on a mark, doom, right face, left face, just like little robots. And that's what we're seeing now. Trump is an instant racist. And Zach was mentioning how Google, which I call Gulag, Google has been scrubbing and making more difficult to find, you know, pushing down the search results. All of the hundreds and hundreds of images of President Trump with black leaders over the past, you know, 30, 40 years, because Trump's been a big guy for a long, long time. And, you know, it's really not hard to find if you just do Google or Bing or any other search for, you know, Trump with Jesse Jackson, Trump with Al Sharpton. Now he's the boogeyman and the demon. But, you know, for decades, he was the toast of the town. He was welcome all over New York City, and black leaders flocked to him. And there they are, all grinning and smiling. But now he's the boogeyman, and the MAGA hat is the new KKK hood. You know, that's what they're trying to tell us. But as this switch is going to unfortunately result in a new civil war, I truly believe the Democrats, they don't have the self-awareness to realize that pushing identity politics to this extreme is going to have a really terrible negative consequence. You know, I think it was about 20 years ago, the Democrat Party basically wrote off working class America and hitched their wagon to identity politics. And the concept was to pull in all the aggrieved minorities, both racial, you know, blacks, Native Americans, Indians, as well as immigrants, the LGBT community, everybody with an axe to grind versus, you know, the old guard, the white Christian men, you know, the of middle America. And now they've backed themselves into the corner where they can no longer appeal to that white middle class American man, and they've got to go further and further to the extreme and demonize that group, the group that elected Trump. Now they're demonizing. And I think that it's political suicide, unless the economy totally collapses over the next 18 months. I think that, which is always a possibility, you know, even events around the world could lead us into something like a global recession that, of course, would be blamed on Trump. But if the Democrats nominate a Kamala Harris or any of these radicals, they're going to take this in a direction that is going to get more and more shrill and hysterical. And the white Trump voters aren't going to put up with it. And in fact, a lot of white Democrats aren't going to tolerate being called a racist. And eventually, you know, there's going to come a breaking point in this country. We're going to see more and more acts of terror from Antifa and possibly staged attacks or just mentally unstable people being compelled to go out and carry out acts of terrorism. And the pressure underneath the country is going to grow and grow. And I think that this is actually not at a conscious spoken level, but this is where the Democrats are taking this country, because I think that they realize as long as there is an electoral college, they can't win. They're not going to win by demonizing, Caucasian America, conservative America, calling us, racists and Nazis. So what they're going to do is lead to such a bitter climate that there's going to be a social explosion. And if Democrats, I call them the Dem Sox, the Democrat socialists, if they can't win by an election, an election to them is just one means to attain power. If they can't win by the electoral process, then blowing up the entire system, resulting in some form of emergency government, whether it's from the right or from the left, this is also part of the socialist playbook. Lenin called it the worse, the better, creating the climate for revolutionary change. But it's not going to lead to the outcome that they want, because our founding fathers had the foresight to not only write the Constitution, as Zach was saying, it's like a how-to manual for safeguarding against tyranny, but they put in the First and Second Amendments as the two primary bulwarks. Number one is that we can say anything we want and we can peaceably assemble. Of course, Antifa doesn't believe in that, and they come out with clubs and bike locks when conservatives peaceably assemble, but Americans see what's going on. And the Second Amendment, right behind the First Amendment, is the guardian. They knew that eventually the forces that tend to aggregate power in the hands of tyrants would need a civilian check, a power as strong as any standing army that could ever be created. That was actually what they were writing about, that the Second Amendment would lead to an American civilian force that would be able to prevent and overthrow any tyrannical government that was ever going to come down far into the future, which seems to be where we are now. And I'm going to continue on this right after this break.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Matt Bracken.
Okay, we're talking about the left's big pivot from Trump is a Russian colluding traitor. Forget that. Never mind. Didn't work out. Now Trump is a white racist, and he's the MAGA hat is a Klan hood. And anybody who supports Trump might as well be in the Ku Klux Klan, or might as well be an American Nazi. Now, something that's really critical to understanding this narrative is how the left uses language as a weapon to literally redefine terms that we've all understood forever in a new way. And in this way, they are really making a powerful weapon out of two innocuous words, when combined, put American, Caucasian, Christians, Judeo-Christian value people, whether they're churchgoers or not, into a defensive posture, basically as born original sin thought criminals. And that is, these two terms are white and nationalism. Now, we were always told all through the civil rights era that race was an immutable characteristic. You couldn't blame somebody for their skin color. Now, I didn't choose to be born of, Irish ancestry. I was just born this way. I can't help it, folks. And I'm also a nationalist, which means a patriot. And I was really interested in this, and there are actually articles comparing nationalism to patriotism. I found a pre-2000 Webster's Dictionary, and it has the actual dictionary definition of nationalism as of 20 years ago, which was that nationalism is just devotion to one's nation and patriotism. There's nothing negative in there. You know, a nationalist is just a patriot. He's a guy who loves his nation. And now if you look up the definition on Google or any search engine, all of the online dictionaries give nationalism a negative spin. You know, it's not that they still have the loyalty and devotion to a nation, but then it's exalting your nation above others. And it's almost like you're a national supremacist. And the non-coincidental example that they use is intense nationalism was one of the causes of the war. So you see how they are putting a negative meaning on nationalism when up until recent times, nationalism was a literal synonym for patriotism. So now what they're doing is conflating the concept of being a white nationalist. I'm white. I can't help it. Okay. So I guess if I'm a nationalist and I'm white, I guess I'm a white nationalist. That means I must have been at Charlottesville, marching with the Klan. I mean, this is how they do it, folks. I get it. White supremacism, that's not a good thing. You know, it's not a good thing. I get it. But what they're saying is white nationalism is equal to white supremacism, so that folks won't be able to distinguish the two. And anybody that is a patriot who happens to be of the Caucasian persuasion is automatically going to be shunned and considered some kind of a throwback evil person, just born evil. And this is being amplified across all kinds of media today, in big examples and small. And a big example is the New York Times has this thing out now called Project 1619. That's when the first African slaves were brought to America. And what the New York Times is attempting to do is to stick the original sin of slavery from 400 years ago onto the backs of every living American conservative today. You don't deserve to be heard. You've just got to go around wearing sackcloth and ashes. You should be self-flagellating and apologizing morning, noon, and night, because 400 years ago, blacks were brought to America as slaves. And the way that this is portrayed is to give, especially, the millennials and younger people without much history background, the idea that white European Christians were some kind of evildoers who invented slavery and came up with the idea of, let's go to Africa, grab a bunch of Africans and drag them to America. And nothing could be further from the truth. The truth is that Europeans inherited slavery. And in fact, after the fall of the Roman Empire, slavery had diminished and almost gone away in Europe. There were still systems of feudalism where you were like a sharecropper, in a sense, tied to the land, but nobody was keeping you there in chains, not chattel slavery where your children were born slaves. That didn't even exist. That was, in fact, reintroduced to Europe with the Islamic conquest of Spain in the 700s to the 1400s. So in Islam, even until today, Islam has slavery as an integral part of Sharia law. In fact, when slavery was still existing in Africa in the open until the 20th century, when the European colonists, primarily the French and Italians, actually forcibly abolished the slave markets. And Saudi Arabia didn't get rid of open slave markets until the 1960s, when they kind of pushed it underground. But it's still a part of Sharia law. So slavery came into Spain with the Islamic conquest. It became, very intermingled. It was a 700-year reconquest of Spain, and the Spanish retained that form of chattel slavery. That is, if you capture enemy, you can enslave them, and their children will also be your slaves. They brought that to the New World. But when the first Spaniards even arrived in the New World in the 1500s, guess what? There was already slavery in America. Indian tribes were practicing slavery against each other. So, in fact, there were shipwrecked Spanish sailors who were enslaved by Indian tribes in Florida and elsewhere, who, when they escaped or were recaptured by Spanish, they actually were some of the first translators. Escaped Spanish slaves who had escaped from slaveholding Indian tribes. So this whole idea that Europeans are uniquely evil, invented slavery, and built the entire country on the institution of slavery is completely false. And in fact, in the Declaration of Independence, the seed of abolition was planted with the line, all men are created equal. They meant all men. Now, that was an inherent conflict with the institution of slavery. I get it. But they knew that, and they were building in the seeds of abolition, because even when the Constitution was written, there were abolitionists in every state. Some states had slavery, some didn't. The only way they could have a unified 13-colony United States of America was to allow slavery, at least for the time being. But it was always known that slavery eventually was going to be abolished. That's why it was written, all men are created equal. So slavery predated Europeans getting to America. Remember the Aztecs and the blue people getting dragged up the pyramids and beheaded and their hearts chopped out? They were slaves. So the Europeans didn't invent it. They inherited it from the Islamic conquest of Spain, and then Christians on both sides of the Atlantic were the ones who abolished it, not the Muslims in the Islamic world, not until they were forced to get rid of it on the surface in the 20th century, but it was William Wilberforce, a British member of Parliament, and then later Abraham Lincoln in America, who actually abolished slavery. And as far as reparations go, 620,000 Union soldiers died in the Civil War. You can argue about all the causes and consequences of the Civil War, but for sure, a big part of it was ending slavery. 620,000 Union dead is a hell of a debt to pay. And in terms of the population of the Union at the time, which was only 22 million, that would be if there was an American Civil War today, that would be like 6 million American soldiers dying in a civil war to abolish slavery. That was the enormity of that sacrifice in the 1860s. So please reject this false narrative that's being pushed by the liberals, that Trump is like the head of the new Klan and all white people carry some evil original sin of being like the inventors and the proponents of slavery. It's a lie, and we need to push back against it. This is going to be the big false narrative of the next 18 months, and we have to start pushing back against it now. This is Matt Bracken, and I'll see you next Thursday, if everything goes well and I'm still here.